For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to
rock. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a new week. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5. The Fanatic again on NBC Sports Philadelphia. So, all right, so let's look at the weekend that was. The Phillies lose 2 of 3 to the Atlanta Braves. And it's funny because they go on a winning streak and we go, you know what? Maybe this team's better than we thought. And then they go to losing streak and it's, well, they got flaws here and they got to drop Reese Hoskins down the lineup and they're a mess. All these games will play themselves out. I don't know if the Phillies can win this division. I still see them as a just kind of an average team, and it is possible that average could be good enough to win this division. The longer we go on, the longer we'll find that out. But after 30 games, I think you get a pretty good read on it. They have decent top three starting pitching. They have a bullpen that sometimes performs, sometimes not. They sometimes hit, and they sometimes don't. Which all adds up to they're just an average team, you know, a little better than average, I guess. I'm not expecting blood from a stone. And if they win the division, they get the playoffs, that'll all be good. Now, the more important season is the basketball season. And, boy, I'm seeing, I don't know, you got to explain this this discontent that's out there with the Sixers. Even though they go on a big winning streak, And they're beating these bad teams. People focus on the whatever flaw they see. Like even the coach brought up some flaw. You know, like you can't. They just went through 5 games in 7 nights against bad competition, and they survived it. Right? They were never in danger of losing any of these games, which people don't look at and give any merit to. But the fact that they. Yeah, they don't have a stinker where they can lose to a bad team. To me, says a lot. It might not say a lot to you. And again, the true tell is when they get in the playoffs. I can't tell that they're playing poorly against this kind of competition. They're trying to get the regular season over. They're trying not to get hurt. They're obviously not at full octane when they're playing these teams. And there's a reason for why they don't beat teams by 25 or they let a team back in the game or whatever. Doc says stuff that is you roll your eyes sometimes that when he says he's got a lot of talent on that bench and he might wind up playing 11 people. No, he doesn't. He can't play 11 people. He doesn't have a lot of talent on that bench. And that plays itself out when they're all on the floor at the same time. So what are they? They're a good team. They're a team that's going to get the number one seed. And because of that, in my view, they have a better than 50% chance to play the NBA Finals. And once they get there, I don't see that there's that great of a team that they can't beat 4 times in 7 games. So anything short of that, I was listening to a call, I guess it was this weekend. And it was a call that I wish I had because the guy said, if just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals would be satisfactory. And I go, no. Those bets are off. I'm not going to say just because you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, there's one step past where you got before, that's an achievement. Not this year. Not when you get the number one seed. Not when you're going to play a team in the Eastern Conference Finals that should be a little more worn down than you. You should be full bore to win the Eastern Conference Finals. So anything short of them winning the Eastern Conference Championship is going to be a disappointment to me. I don't know how you feel about that, Tyrone. Are you okay with them just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, I need to see how the Eastern Conference Finals were to play out. Let's say Harden came back and there was they were somehow some juggernaut and the Sixers took them to seven games. I might be convinced that the Nets were just better. But right now, I'm finals or bust. That's what, right now, yeah, I'm sitting finals or bust.
And people somehow, they're so fearful that they want to go, well, look what they're not playing overly great. And I go, what are they supposed to do against this dreck of a season at the end where they're playing a lot of games all piled up where it's sitting this guy, sitting that guy, and they continue to win these games. So why focus on that, on the flaw that you see against a crap team like the Pistons, rather than say, yeah, these games really don't mean anything. So the fact that they're winning is an achievement. In fact, they're winning means they're going to get the number one seed. In fact, you get the number one seed, is it going to be pretty formidable in the playoffs? Like, I don't know. That, to me, that's an easy train of thought.
It is. I think that, I don't want to bring them up, but I've been trying to peel back this onion with people on why they're cautious the way that they are. Because in the past, and in other sports, and in other years even, we've been overly positive. They've managed Doc has done a good job. The team's done a good job going around this tough schedule, packing all these games. And you should never have a 5-7 nights, for example. I don't care if you're playing the YMCA. You shouldn't have 5 games and 7 nights in the NBA, but you had it because of this situation. I think when it comes down to it, it's all because of the one person. But I know it gets tedious talking about the one person. But I think fans right now are not afraid of Doc Rivers, not afraid of Embiid or the Sixers team. I think they're afraid of one person. And because that one person won't do one thing, that's what keeps them from jumping all in. That's what my take is, that they want to see that player do something they haven't seen so that they can finally say, okay, here it is. And because they don't see it, in my opinion, that's why they hold back. That's where I'm at right now. Because that's the
you're
only,
talking about, obviously, number 25.
Right, and I know that it happens too often, but I'm talking about in this context, not him. I'm saying that I think there are people who don't trust him because they saw Embiid, even though they got swept, they saw Embiid average 30-10 last year. I've heard callers cite that when they call in saying, I believe Embiid's going to get whatever he's going to get. And they believe in Doc Rivers and they believe in a lot of people. I think that they don't believe in him and that keeps them from jumping in. And because they're not playing any teams that challenge him, that's why it doesn't change their mind. That can be the only thing that makes sense. Because the rest of it kind of seems silly.
Yeah. See, I have a dilemma here now that you brought up the Ben Simmons thing, because you know how I feel about Ben Simmons. So on one hand, I'm saying for him to get to a certain higher level, he needs to do some things, and those things will make it easier for the Sixers to actually win a championship. However, I'm also on record. I was just on record a couple minutes ago saying I fully expected the Sixers would play in the NBA championship. And then who is that team from the West that I'm going to go, you can't beat 4 times in a 7-game series. So, in other words, I'm sanctioning a team that's good enough without Ben Simmons shooting, which puts me in a vice grip.
Right.
And I don't know how to handle this. Because if they win with Ben Simmons not shooting, people are going to say, see, you don't need to shoot.
Now, listen, if I get a title, I don't care.
You know, I get it.
But no, you're right.
But see, and that puts me in a tough spot because I know that could possibly happen, but I still wouldn't be able to justify him not shooting.
Right, and I feel like that must what it must be because as you're playing these games, they keep on finding ways to win. And if they want to call in today, and I hope they do, and they say, hey, it's the bench. Okay, well, recognize that Doc's lying. Like, I don't like to, Doc, he's not playing 10 or 11. He's probably playing 9, but he's not playing 10 or 11. and Embiid's up to 38, and Simmons is up to 40, 41, 42, and Tobias is 40. So right there, you're squeezing even those guys that plays minutes that much down. Even Dwight Howard's minutes, unless there's foul trouble, will go from 17 to 10 in the playoffs. So you're not going to see those guys a lot, even if you do see nine of them. And Korkmaz being injured probably is the excuse to move him out of that rotation anyway. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it is when deep down they go, I don't believe in him, so I can't believe in them. And I don't like, I'm not comfortable with that because they've been the one seed all year with him being how he is. But I think that's how people are thinking. And I can't say that it's unfair, but I do think that it's a little bit unfair at the same time. But I can't really tell you it's unfair because we have seen him be walled off in the past in the playoffs and stuff like that. So
there are people, you're saying that there are people out there that are afraid that 2-5 will prevent them possibly from getting to the NBA Finals because he doesn't do that thing.
That's what I'm gathering from the people who are worried. There are a section of fans that are in, but amongst those that are not in, I feel like they're saying, oh yeah, whatever, whatever. When the time comes, they're going to put up the wall. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell them that they're wrong. I can say that Embiid is better this year. The spacing around 2-5 is better this year. There are other, Tobias is better. I can give a whole bunch of reasons around why that might not be a problem, but I can't tell them, oh, you're definitely wrong, because I don't know 100% that they're wrong.
All right, so we'll talk about that. And we also heard Anthony talking about the accent from Mayor of East End. It was spoofed on Saturday Night Live. I thought it was really funny. In fact, I didn't watch the show live, but I on Sundays, I go back and I look at all the skits to judge whether the show's funny or not. Hello, Nat.
Hi.
Natalie's back with
us. I'm here.
How you doing, Nat?
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. So I'm looking at all the skits. And I know Elon, there's a lot of controversy with Elon Musk. Now, I don't care 3 cents about Elon Musk. He doesn't really affect my world, but I know he's been controversial, and he was the anti-COVID vaccine, and he's just an eccentric zillionaire to me, and I don't really pay much attention to eccentric zillionaires because they can say anything they want. But I actually thought he did a pretty good job on the show. Now, was I misguided?
No, I loved him on the show. I really liked it. I thought he was funny.
I was surprised that he pulled it off to the point where it didn't look like he was uncomfortable at all doing the lines.
Right. I thought he was a tad awkward, but for him being in that situation, I thought he did really well.
All right, Tyrone, I don't know. Did you see it?
I ended up going back. I don't like Elon Musk.
Yeah, so. I know. You're not an Elon Musk guy
at
all.
I don't like him. So.
And I'm completely indifferent to him. I don't get carried away with it, with anything he does, because he's eccentric millionaires. I put it on another side of a planet. Like, I have nothing in common with him. So,
yeah, see, I'm good with eccentric millionaires. I'm not good with eccentric billionaires. Somehow, when the beat comes, I need you to be a little bit more serious, and that's why I'm out on him.
Yeah, all right.
I did enjoy him because I can't enjoy him because I don't like him.
He's a total weirdo. So, but back to the mayor of Easttown. See, I took that as an extreme part of flattery. That imitation, is the strongest form of flattery. And I looked at it like, wow, they're going to spoof that show. It must be really important. And therefore, it shines a light on with stuff we do here. So I actually thought it was pretty funny. So now, I know there's a lot of people that didn't think it was funny.
So I thought it was funny, and I laughed at it, and I laughed a lot at it. I thought it was great. I loved Gritty in the Woods. I loved the whole thing. But I have that, super, provincial, chip on my shoulder where I'm like, it's kind of insulting, but that's just I think the whole mentality of it. You know what I mean?
I never have a chip on my shoulder. If somebody tells me I have an accent, I go, all right. So that, that's just indigenous to where my area.
That's
the way we talk. Like in Boston, they talk a certain way. It's indigenous to their area. What do I care if people think that I have a funny accent?
Has anybody ever made fun of it to your face?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Huh.
Well, you really have an accent. Like I'm other parts of the country. I go, I don't think I have an accent, but I'm sure that you are not used to hearing the way people talk in a certain geographical area. So what's that to me? It's just the way happens to be the way we talk. So I don't get offended by it.
See, I didn't know until I went to Temple that I had an accent. And somebody said, oh, you sound like you're from the South. And I was like, no, I'm from here. And then he said, oh, ew. And then from that day forward, and then throughout my career, people have told me it's terrible. You got to get used to it. You'll never go to any other market, which is true. However, You know, it's just been like a like a little, you know, poke for me. But I am who I am now, so, but still.
Yeah, I don't get bugged at it. So I looked at that, and I thought that they embellished the accent, which I thought was, like, ultra funny.
Oh, yeah.
And they went over the top to embellish it, which I think I find as a tribute. I really do. That they're taking enough time to spoof the show and the accent in the area. I think that's cool.
Yeah, you're right. I have that flawed Philadelphia mentality where even though I thought it was hysterical and I'm really glad that we just keep getting all this attention, especially from the show, I'm still like, well, did you have to overdo it? But again, that's flawed, so I get that.
Yeah, listen, I had a mother who made sure that I wasn't saying water or things like that because she knew that I was, you know, on a track to go into this business and understand language and communication and all stuff like that. So she would correct me all the time with the provinciality.
Yeah.
But so I was able to do that, but also recognize that other people don't do that, and it's fine by me.
Yeah.
You know, well, I hung out with friends that said water.
You're a bigger person than you me, know? Mike.
The girl who co-wrote it is from Delaware.
So, yeah, that's why. That's Sue funny.
Degree. Yeah, so it wasn't like it was an outsider making fun of Philadelphia.
All right, that changes things.
It was a person from
I've heard daughter, like they pronounced it with the W sound. Daughter. Yeah, daughter, like that.
My daughter.
Now they went, I don't know, they pronounced it differently, but they embellished. They went over the top of daughter to make it.
They said dirter.
Dirter.
Which is. Yeah, O's were fine. It was the dirter that I was okay.
It's an overdone daughter.
I know.
So I know. I thought it was funny. All right, so we'll talk about it. We're going to play it a little later. And, you know, I think this is a good thing for the area. And, you know, the only thing I can think about is that Brad Inglesby, and I've been in touch with him, not personally, but he won't return. I've been in touch with his brother. And he won't return. The only thing I can think of is he doesn't want to comment while the show is going on, that maybe he would come on after the show's first season run, and there's three more episodes. But I'm still trying to get him on, because I'm interested to see how he put this idea together.
Yeah, I mean, the show's brilliant. I watched last night, I thought it was great.
I think it's
put it back on track.
I think it's a good show. I'm not so sure I can go to great.
Okay.
But I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching it every Sunday.
Feels like a show I'm not going to watch.
Really?
It's hitting me in the, I'm going to skip that. Yeah.
Well.
There's nothing about it so far that says, I should watch that.
See, I can't give away anything. But
no, I know.
But I grew up with a similar type of murder in my town.
Oh. Wow.
Yes. When I was like 7.
Oh, God.
So I can't say anything more about it because I would give away what's going on now.
Right, right.
But I was actually going to write a book on it.
Huh. They beat you to it.
I kind of got sidetracked. But anyway, here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. Sixers. Now, you're looking at them. What are they right now? Are you even paying attention to some of their inefficiencies as we prior to the playoffs? And if so, why? Because nothing counts right now. Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:25. Mike Mussinelli Show, Monday. I like to kick off Mondays. Mondays are a nice, fresh week. And a lot of stuff has happened. You get to talk about multi-events. And the course of 2 o'clock hour of any show, including Mondays, is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, this is one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester. All right, let's start a Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or call them. They have safe contactless pickup right there at their shop in Doylestown. Natalie back with us with the Twitter poll for today.
That's right, Mike. All right, today's poll, if you're not all in on the Sixers making the finals, what's the main reason? 42% say the Nets, 31% going Ben Simmons, 20% say the bench, and 7% say the Bucks. So Nets, Simmons, bench, Bucks in that order.
All right, I mean, that's fair. I think the way it comes out, that's fair. What do you think? They're worried more about the Nets than Ben?
Yeah, but I'm surprised Ben's ahead of the bench.
Yeah?
And that far ahead of the Bucks.
I think that people look at the bench and go, it is what it is. I can't improve that. But this guy is giving us less than he can.
Yeah. And again, it is sort of fair. It's just, I'm just been trying to examine it because as they keep piling up the wins, I'm trying to keep it in perspective of, I know what this is.
Yeah.
Just like I know, okay, somebody, I know there's going to be somebody who decides to make the Miami game coming up a referendum. Miami needs that game significantly more than the Sixers do.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now that on Thursday, Miami's going to be way more motivated than the Sixers will be. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not an excuse. I'm just telling the truth. The Sixers will know, okay, we don't need to win this game. And Miami will be saying, we're trying to stay out of that six seed. They'd much rather get to the five seed if they can, and they're still in the midst to do so. Mm-hmm. They'd rather play the Hawks or the Knicks than they would rather play the Bucks in the first round. Nets, they're going to be spilling it to win that game. I already know the Sixers don't need that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I still know that if Ben Simmons if Embiid has a bad game and Simmons has a good game, fans can eat it. But if Embiid was to get 30 and 12 in that game and Simmons gets you 10, oh my God. They're going to lose in the first round, Mike. That's what we're going to hear on Friday.
How come nobody really talks about the fact that Embiid, who can sit in a lounge chair for the rest of the year, frankly, played all those games?
5 and 7 nights.
Played 5 and 7 nights. I guess he's interested in winning the MVP. He doesn't want to miss any more games. Wants to give himself the best shot. And I guess a lot of it is because if he plays, he knows they can't lose. But, you know, Saturday night, I go to the game. And it was a surprise for my sister. My niece wanted to take her to a Sixers game. She's a big Sixer fan and a big Ben fan.
Yeah, that stinks.
And so we go in, we sit down, and I don't see Ben out there. And I go, uh-oh. I think she goes, what? What do you mean? I go, I don't think Ben's playing. What? They're not playing. I came down. I wanted to see him. I go, well, you know. The way it is. I go, but and I didn't see Embiid out there either. I said, I better help Embiid. And all of a sudden he comes out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah, and he got just a casual 29, right? He really casual 20, barely missed any shots. I'm just saying, let's provide a little bit of balance of what's been going on here. It's not all bad that they're on an 8-game winning streak. It's weird that we have to say that, but that's kind of the sentiment where we have to say it's not all bad that they're on an 8-game winning streak.
You know, it's funny. We've gotten spoiled now to the point where there was a time when you know, a team would lose a game to a bad team.
Yep.
Right? This team does it. But we get it and say, okay, what else can we look at? All right, well, they're not perfect. Absolutely not perfect. They didn't step on it. They're up 20, and they only won by 12.
Right. Like, they didn't win by enough. It's no longer, they fell asleep.
Yeah.
Because Doc has done a really, that's Doc right. Rivers.
So,
that's credit to him for that.
So in a way, that's good that we got spoiled about winning, and now we have to have the perfection winning.
Yeah. It's like everything you said at the beginning, Mike, was very fair. We're going to see how this plays out. And unfortunately, we don't have a time machine, so we have to allow this to play out. But let's look around. The Nets, for example, beating the Nuggets on the road, that showed me a little something about that Nets team where I was almost ready, because they were on their own 4-game winning streak, almost ready to put them in the rear view, and they pushed their way back. I think we have to keep watching for the things that do matter. But the results here, staying on path for the one seed, remains the most important thing. All the other stuff is just noise, and then we'll find out later.
Yeah.
That's where my mind is at. But a lot of people are, but they're not doing it impressive enough, and that's out there.
Yeah. All right. So here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Later in the show, this accent thing is going to be funny to talk about, because I want to continue that conversation a little later. Let's start now with David in New Haven. Is this New Haven, Connecticut, Dave?
Yes, New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, what's going on up there?
Everything and nothing all at the same time.
A lot of good pizza up there in New Haven.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, I was born in Stanford, so.
Okay. All right. I got you.
Cool. But I called to say that Tyrone has me pegged when it comes to the Sixers thing. Let me preface it by saying I'm 48, been a Sixers fan since I swear I was 8, 9 years old. I have more faith in Armin Gilliam back when he was playing with Charles than I do in Ben Simmons right now. That's crazy to me. And it's not really because of what he won't do. It's because of listening to him and his reasons why. And watching them in the playoffs, any coach that has a superior brain can stymie him. So I don't care whether he shoots. My thing is, Ben, can we get 16 every night? And he just, for some reason, refuses to get over his own mental hurdle. And that's what makes me, on an emotional level, for the first time in my life, I've fallen back. If we go to the championship, I'm like, yeah, but if we lose early, it's not unexpected because Ben refuses to do what the team needs him to do. He does a lot of great things, and they're dope, and he's at an elite level, but those are wants. But what they need is they need him at that position he's playing to put pressure on the defense, and he doesn't do it. So for me, Tyrone is right. I've fallen back a little bit, and I enjoy it. I love what I'm watching, but I can't become emotionally invested when I watch a guy purposely say, I'm not going to give you my all. And I go, okay.
But see, here's the thing. He thinks he is giving his all.
That is true.
Now, see, I would like to do a psychological study of Ben Simmons because I think I have a pretty good head start on what's going on with him and why he doesn't do things that he doesn't want to do. But you can't let, like, you're expecting the worst.
I don't
understand, like, expecting the worst. How about some rational thought here? Even with you expecting the worst, could they be good enough to get to the NBA Finals?
Oh, yes, because NBA.
All right, well, but you're not allowing yourself to even think that. You're waiting for an avalanche to fall because Ben's going to do something and to prevent them from winning. That's what your mindset is.
But see, so you know what it is? I'm a teacher, right? And mm-hmm. Sometimes you have a student that's showing you third, fourth, or fifth grade and they're out of control. Forgive me when you come to my homeroom if I go, okay. And that's how I'm with Ben. I watched him in game 7 against Toronto take 7 shots. I watched him the year before against Boston completely disappear. So he's never given me anything that I can hold on to. I watched, you know, I that's what my issue is.
Well, he's given you a lot to hold on to. He just hasn't given you the shooting part of it. He gives you a lot to hold on to. You know, that's funny that the student. So it's like a student who's a brilliant student, but he's a slacker. He doesn't feel like he wants to get the A. But, you know, when you start to, he's on a debate team and he shows up that night, and he wins the debate for you. Like, right. So you look at all the things that go, well, he doesn't do this, doesn't do that. Come debate time, he may win the debate for you. It's just a matter of what, waiting and seeing.
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble in high school because a teacher said something like that about me, now that you bring that up.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
I would start the marking period slow and pick it up. I'd work my way into the marking period. All right, let me go do my process, all right? I just busted in the last marking period.
Well,
dude, Tyrone's rolling around. This is AP chemistry, by the way. It's not like this is an easy class.
Right.
AP chemistry, getting no credit for it. And then, as far as at home, getting credits for it, helped me in college and everything. And then he just blurts out a B. And my mind, I'm like, no, I was easing into the marking period. Now I'm locked in. I'm going to get B's and A's the rest of the way. It'll all be fine. My dad wasn't trying to hear that.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same personality. Like, I was a kid until when I get to sixth grade. See, I went to this elementary school for 5 years, and mm-hmm. I got A straight.
Oh,
I never got less than an A.
Mm-hmm.
When I get to sixth grade, it was a new school.
Throws you off.
With 1 year school,
mm-hmm.
right, until you get to the high school, which is seventh grade.
Oh, they had you go 7 through 12 then?
7 12 was our high school.
Oh, wow.
So there was one in between year where my elementary school where I lived, we only went up to fifth grade. You had to go across town. For sixth grade.
And then back.
When I get to cross town in sixth grade, there are different people that didn't go to my elementary school.
Right.
So all these new stimuluses. And I go, yeah, I kind of want to fool around here.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my first B in sixth grade. And my parents, what? Why? What are you doing? How could you pop? You got A's? How are you going to be? I go, well, I don't know. I just didn't feel like getting an A.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's a little bit of defiance in that. Now, so when it comes to Ben, I've tried to study this mindset about him. You know, I've been off on this. He was raised to be perfect. And so when he's raised to be perfect, he has no time for people who don't think he's perfect. And therefore he becomes a defiant kid. So the more people, I think, say you need to shoot, the more he says, it's my world. I'm raised to be perfect. You're not. I am. And I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I think it's a form of defiance in the kid.
Really?
Yes.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I always thought it was because deep down he doesn't think he's good at shooting.
Well, and that goes back to the perfect thing. He can't show the side that he's not perfect. So with that comes the defiance that he's hearing all. He blanches when people say, don't shoot. He doesn't like it. He pushes back against it. That's the defiant part of it.
Right.
There's also an ego thing that goes into it too, because anytime that he does shoot, it's so under a microscope that if he starts it and he misses, which
but nobody
I guess,
minds collect, when he misses,
but
he thinks they do though,
but right. because
and
there
that's
are
not
a faction,
the perfection that he was raised
right.
with. Like, you know, the Ben that he knows, you know, guess what? I can beat you, off the dribble anytime I want to get to the basket, and I jam on you, and then I'll defend your ball. That's Ben. And you got to appreciate that. Now comes the other thing. He doesn't do the other thing perfect.
Right.
So he avoids it. And then when people say, don't avoid it, he goes, who the hell you think you are? I've been raised to be perfect. What I do is perfect enough. I think it's a collection of facts.
You're probably right. But I'm glad that first caller right out the shoot talked about it, though. Because I keep hearing it buzzing where people are like, we believe in everybody but him. I'm not saying that's everybody, but there's a certain amount of people that are like, I believe in everybody with the Sixers, but that guy.
And that's all that is a fan protection. Because the fan is protecting himself from the disappointment. If that actually happens, right. then he's prepared for it.
Yeah, and I'm different. I'm still finals or bust. I feel very comfortable with the one seed path. That they'll beat the Nets or the Bucks because of the difficulty in the other team's paths.
You got to factor that in. So even with an imperfect Ben, the factor by the time that team gets to you that can prevent you from getting to the finals, they may be lesser than. And it's in your favor.
And I truly believe it. And I think that matters. Playing the Raptors when you did. That was the eventual champion. You just got to them early.
Mm-hmm.
That when you play a team does matter. Get them in the conference finals after a 7-game series, mm-hmm. maybe you're able to trip up that Raptors team.
Yeah.
Instead, you catch them earlier while they're fresher and they're able to, hey, he had enough legs to get you the quadruple mm-hmm. bounce and then you lose. Maybe if you get him the next round,
mm-hmm.
Kawhi doesn't have the legs, he doesn't make that jump shot, you advance, you go to the finals.
Yeah. It reminds me of Friday Night Lights, what Gary Gaines always say to his players. Oh. Friday Night Lights. What was his two words?
Was be perfect.
Be perfect.
Yeah, be perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
Be perfect. We weren't perfect. A guy like Mike Winchell took it to heart and balled his ass off in the locker room when they lost that game, right?
Right.
Ben's family is saying, you are perfect.
Yeah, that's different. That's
he
very different.
He hasn't urged them to be perfect, like Gary Gaines. You are perfect. You were raised to be perfect. Therefore, you don't have flaws. All right, let's go T-Love in Collingdale. T-Love, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. T-Love.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, T?
Hey, you guys beating down us fans, man. What's up with that? You know?
Well, what do you mean beating down? I don't understand, like, the cautious approach to this is interesting to me. Like, you're smart enough to figure out what's at work here. They're going to get the number one seed, and they're going to have a better opportunity to get the NBA Finals than somebody else would just for that reason. Don't you think?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You're right. Now, I mean, I'm not being negative about it. I've enjoyed this season probably more than most in the last few seasons. But the thing about the worry, I'm like Tobias Harris, before he went out, he was averaging 20 points a game. Since he's been back, he's struggling to get 10. And that's a little concern, and you can see it on the scoreboard. Now, I'm not worried about Ben. I'm not worried about the big guy. I'm worried about the little things and how they're going to fit.
Don't you think Tobias Harris has gotten to a graduate level this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Why would you? Like, he's different. He's a different Tobias than he was. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, you can see you can see this season he's been a lot better. But like I said, I'm worried about the since he's been back from his injury, he's struggling to get 10 points a game. Before that, he was averaging almost 20 points a game. He was an all-star.
I get it, but look at the, they're coming down this road here with these crappy teams. They're just trying to survive, man. Right. You can't judge.
You're going to need that. When you come up against, I mean, look at Washington.
Well, of course you are, but you think Tobias Harris only going to score 10 points when it counts?
Well, I want to know that.
These games don't count.
Do
these games count to you?
It's not these games I'm talking about. I'm talking about the upcoming playoffs.
Well, we're not in the upcoming playoffs. You're trying to take the lesser performance against direct teams when they're trying to survive.
Make me feel any different than the way I feel right now, so stop it.
Okay? I think you're a little off with your thought process.
No, I'm not dissing them. I'm saying that I just want things to go back to the way it was.
I get it, but you're judging at a very awkward time.
Well, this is the time that counts. I mean, right
this
now,
doesn't count.
No. I misspoke. They have taken a little edge off, and they've gotten a lot of play from the bench, and they've been able to sit back and rest the big guys, the big guns, which is great. But what I'm saying is you can see Tobias Harris struggling.
Last 10 games, he's averaging 15 a game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
More specifically, his last four, 21, 15, 17, 18.
Okay, well then maybe I'm not seeing the big picture.
Two games ago, he had 21. Come on,
okay,
T.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Easton. Or what is it, Easttown or Easton?
Mayor of Easttown.
Okay. Listen, yes. I've been watching this show, and I'm trying to expand my horizons. I'm like you. I think it's a good show. I don't think it's a great show. Sunday was a good episode. I think it's going to pick up a little bit. The show that I find crazy and weird is the one that comes on before it called The Nevers. It's like...
I don't watch that.
I
don't do this sci-fi angle.
But it's like the X-Men.
That's not my thing. The Nevers. I know it's been getting pretty good reviews. But I don't, you know. Anything that's supernatural, I'm out.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I don't find it interesting.
Yeah.
Because I live in the real.
Yes, you do.
So, all right, let's take a break. 610-620-975. You know, I'm almost thinking. That was like that thing that happened when I was seven. Mm-hmm. It was such a notorious thing. It was a cold case, by the way. That I'm wondering if in their research... they could have possibly discovered that and put it in this plot.
Maybe.
Probably. Except, I mean, if the guy's from around here, maybe he remembers it.
It happened before he was alive.
Oh.
Because okay. I was seven.
Right.
But in research, you could find it.
Yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
97.5 The Fanatic.
247. Mike Missanelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Let me ask you a question. We're gonna, in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to play the we're going to play that spoof of Mayor of Easttown. But also on that show, Natalie, did you see the Super Mario Brothers spoof?
I thought it was hysterical.
The trial?
Yes. Were you offended?
Well,
I thought of you the whole time.
I've always thought that Super Mario Brothers is offensive to Italians.
Right. And then they leaned into it.
And so I was pleased to see that the attorney was accusing Wario of racism.
Yeah. I thought of you the whole time.
Well, it's what do you think about it? See, I've always said that the Italians are the least offended culture for reasons that are unclear to me. Who are the villains in the Super Mario Brothers? What were they called?
Well, there's different villains.
Yes, the one villain was called who?
Yeah, Bowser.
Bowser, he's like a giant dragon.
And the Goombas.
And the Goombas, yeah.
The Goombas.
Yeah.
Were the villains, right?
They're run of the mill, easy to beat villains.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, they got to be the Goombas. Had to be the villains.
Now, I always wonder what beef the Japanese have with the Italians.
That's what I was thinking. They came up with it.
It's worldwide. That's why I'm saying they're the least offended culture, because it's worldwide. Because people think of Italians just like, they'll stereotype the Italian. We'll make the Mario brother got a plumber with the mustache.
Not a plumber
Luigi.
Mario and Luigi was a little rough. The plumber thing I never understood either.
Well, that's how he would stick to the wall to climb up.
He had his plunger.
Working class immigrant who can only be a plumber.
Oh.
Right?
Because I don't know any Italian plumbers personally.
I'm sure they're Italian plumbers. Italians had to survive with a trade. So I'm sure that they came here with a trade. Right. That they had a match. So like my grandfather's a bricklayer. It was a skill. That I had to have skills to survive. Right. I'm just saying, it was interesting to see. And did you see Grimes in there?
Yeah, I saw
her. How about Grimes?
I thought she looked great.
Princess what, Peach?
Yeah, she was Princess Peach.
Princess Peach, mm-hmm. Grimes in there, Tyrone, last night.
Saturday. Yeah, that makes it
worse. She looked great at the end, too. I love the blonde.
That makes it worse.
The silver gown? I thought she looked fab.
I did, too.
Yeah, she looked great.
Yeah, was Miley Cyrus the musical guest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For the 99th time.
Oh, that's why she was in one of those skits.
Yeah, between hosting and she's on that show three times a year, it feels like.
Yeah.
She's on a lot.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, her voice is
I'm a fan.
Is really good.
Oh, well, you guys are fans.
I think she's a little cutie.
Well, all right.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I think she's.
I would say no.
I think she's adorbs.
I think she's. you know.
What do you think of her new bang? She's got that like.
Yeah, I like it. I like her a lot. I think she's got a lot of
that like '80s. She's like into that like
'80s. She got a lot of sass.
Yeah.
She's a bit individualistic sass.
Yeah. Yeah, I like her.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Tito in North Philly. Tito, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tito.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tito?
Big fan of the show, man. I really love you.
Thanks,
guys,
buddy.
Man.
I appreciate it.
Whenever I don't hear you guys, I put you guys on the barbershop. I watch you guys on Comcast Sportsnet while I work.
I appreciate
you guys,
that.
That's amazing, man.
Who?
Thanks, man. You show good taste. That's NBC Sports Philly, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Sportsnet went away a while ago.
Okay, right.
Maybe they didn't go up there and tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what time it was on, and I put it on. So that's what.
All right, that's all good.
But no, man, I'm calling because listen, I'm a diehard Sixers fan. Every year, I gotta hear people complain about Ben Simmons. Every year, I gotta hear people talk about Trey Ben Simmons. Who are you gonna trade Ben Simmons for? First of all. You can. Only player I would probably consider would be Bradley Beal, and that's a if. And I would still think twice about trading Ben Simmons. As a Sixers fan, I am okay with Ben Simmons dropping a triple-double every game.
Yeah, he didn't do it every game. Sorry.
Well, almost every other
game. No, he does score more. Let's get to it where we get over the agreement, Tito, and stop enabling the guy. He needs to score more. I don't care about his 10-point triple doubles. He needs to get them 20, because if he gets 20, that puts less onus on guys like Seth Curry and Danny Green to have to score. Right? Are we like, let's not dance around this anymore.
I understand that, But maybe Ben Simmons doesn't have that in his game.
He does. You see the way he shoots it? Hey, you ever watch him in pregame? Does it look like he's got anything wrong with his release?
It doesn't look like he got anything wrong, but I just, for some reason, I feel like he just doesn't want to shoot in the game.
Okay, and that's right? See, this is what I'm saying. You're enabling that. You're saying it's okay. It's not okay. I've stopped. It's just justification that I hear from Ben Simmons makes me nuts. I see it all over social media. He doesn't need to shoot. Yes, he does. And Doc Rivers knows he needs to do it, and Doc just doesn't want to bury him.
You're absolutely right. But what I'm saying is, like, I see Ben Simmons, like, everybody talks about what he doesn't do.
No, we talk about what he does do. We talk about what he does do. Obviously, we love it. These people make me crazy. I swear to God, my head's going to explode like that mushroom cloud emoji. He made me crazy with this. We know what he does. We appreciate what he does. He can take it up a notch. People are, well, that's the only, like, let's just stop here with the Ben. Like, he's all we gonna see. This is what he is. No, it's not all of what he is. He is capable of shooting a basketball like everybody who's ever played in a freaking league. I am so tired of these people. I read these comments. They go, they make me nuts.
They're the counter to the people who say Ben's going to be their undoing. Then you have people like the last caller that say Ben is a son of God that cannot possibly have a flaw. So there's really, he's very polarizing, Mike.
I saw this guy that tweeted, and he's some kind of a journalist. He's a young journalist, right? Young journalists get more into being fans than they do the reality of it. And I'm going to find this tweet that set me off this weekend with this kid. And I can't take it anymore. It is what it is. You know, and I know, that he needs to shoot the basketball. Stop saying he doesn't. He does. 3 o'clock hours ahead. Sorry about that.
We're good, Mike.
It sets me off.
We heard it.
It makes me crazy.
But you need to get it out, you know? This is an outlet. Ben and I.
All right, we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Four Police Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie. Hoagie party trays every bit is good. Reminder, at 4 o'clock, we'll talk to Taron Hatcher. Flyers' last game is tonight. I thought it was last week, the last game. But apparently, there's another game tonight. And it'll be right here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Yes, it was always scheduled to be tonight.
Right. And so Taron Hatcher will join us to wrap up the season. That wasn't at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. You know, they're kind of gotten a pass. Overall.
Yeah, we've forgotten about them.
They're kind of...
We forget even when they play, to be honest with you. This season has turned so dismal that I don't even know when they play.
I mean, they just imploded.
Yeah. All right, one other thing about the... You know, first of all, I know what Doc Rivers has to say about Ben Simmons. I get it. You always want to back your player. You don't want him to get broiled. You certainly don't want to broil him in public. He puts out a quote like this. Just because Ben doesn't shoot threes doesn't mean he doesn't create them. He leads the league in threes created. Before the three-point line was really popular, there was a guy named Magic Johnson. Now, Doc Rivers' excusatory rhetoric to me is getting very tired now. All right? I'm not even talking about a three. Nobody's really talking about a three. So stop with the three. We're not urging him to shoot threes. Now, all that quote does from Doc, it lights up the numbskulls who get carried away with being fanboys. And then they're the same guys that when somebody gates them in the playoffs, they'll be the first people to rip in. And then we have this guy here, who I read on social media this weekend.
He takes the Doc Rivers quote, he retweets it, and says this: Ben Simmons embodies every characteristic of the Philly athlete fans claim they love. He busts his ass, he plays elite defense, he makes smart decisions, he embraces the city. Yet every day those same fans try their hardest to butt him to death. That's so weird to me. So I go, who is this guy that would say that? And apparently he's some kind of a journalist. He's a young Skippy. It's probably his first job, so he can't make the transition from fan to journalist yet. Says he works for CBS Sports NBA. And his avatar, he's got, you can see him, he looks like he's like really young kid. His name is Dennis Chambers. So I just throw his name out there.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he's got a Slam magazine as his front. So he's obviously a fan who's now just breaking into journalism. But a seasoned journalist would look at the situation and go, we can't forget about the... Yeah, we appreciate all his greatness. We understand what he does. Just add to. That's all. It's not like... We're not trying to assassinate Ben Simmons as much as to say, dude, just become more, a little more complete. You might be stressing out your team by only scoring 14. I think that's fair.
The question then becomes, does the flaw end up being the primary reason Sixers come up short if they come up short?
Well, I don't know. That remains to be seen. But the fact remains that whether they come up short or not, he still has a duty to make his game more complete to stop the gimmicky defenses that in the past have stopped him.
Well,
That's all I'm saying.
But I feel like the narrative's kind of going that way that Ty said is if they fall short, is it, you know, it's always going to be that question because he's not shooting. And when was it? Was it the year prior Celtics won 1 point? You know, like that is what's going to outweigh all of the defensive stuff in the end of the season when they lose. And they lose another year, another chance, and then they have to start over again in the fall. And it's still going to be the lingering question. It's just like the longer it goes on, the more it's magnified. So it's like, when does it end? Because those questions aren't going to go away. They're only going to get worse.
So I went back and forth with this kid. I don't even know who he is. But he duded me. He dudes me.
A little disrespect.
He goes, dude, he is what he is. There are other ways to affect the game other than scoring or taking bad shots. You don't value other parts of basketball besides scoring? Well, of course I do. I've been trumpeting his ability since he's been in the league about what he does on the floor. So then I retort with, so you're okay with a guy who doesn't want to shoot a basketball because he is what he is? Like, I'm just supposed to say that? You know why he is what he is. He's a grown-ass man, but he's the first player in the history of Earth who would actually not take a medium-range 10-foot jump shot. But he is what he is. I'm supposed to be okay with that. It's never happened in the history of the game, but I'm supposed to be okay with that.
See? This is how we end up on that road. Somebody just tuning in now won't know the premise of the conversation. They'll think this is just another Ben-Day. When in actuality,
it's not
coming
Ben-Day.
From an organic place of fans being
it is.
Worried about the Sixers, despite the fact that they're on an 8-game winning
We've
streak.
We've had two calls already indicative of that. We have a poll that indicates this.
Now, Booney brings up that now there's two new churches. So you have the Church of Jordan. And now... You have the Church of Ben.
Three new churches now. We forgot the Church of Tony Bradley.
Yeah, we had the Church of Tony Bradley.
Where
are those people at? You know, Sixers, when Embiid played all five of those seven games, you know, they really could have used a couple of minutes from Tony Bradley. Then they would have won easier. Also, the Church of Ben, he doesn't need to change anything because he plays defense.
He is what he is.
Yep.
Live with it. Okay.
And then you have the Church of Anti-Ben, who are saying, you're never win with this guy. This guy... It's going to be running. I'm telling you, this is not. This we're turning into more like the Greeks.
The Greeks?
With all the gods.
Oh, yeah.
Now the church, we're turning into the Greeks. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a god for every. God of shooting. God of rebounding. God of passing.
Just because I want him to shoot a basketball does not mean I don't appreciate him as a player than the other things he does. But if you come with that on social media, I'm coming right at you. Because I am tired of the enabling. Let's go to Arnold in Cheltenham. Arnold, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Arnold.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Arnold?
I hear this argument you got, and it's killing me because I've been watching all these games. I ain't missed nothing since the process started. Listen, seems like we win more games when Embiid is out. We win more games.
What?
When Simmons is out, we win more games than when Embiid is out. Last time he stayed out, we lost 4 out of 5 games. Last year in the playoffs, Ben didn't play. We got swept. I don't know.
Yeah,
so I'm having a real issue with that.
So, yeah, they're both important to the overall success of the team.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure what your point is. Are you telling me that Ben Simmons is more important than Embiid?
No, I'm just telling you we win a lot of games when he plays.
Okay, coincidence. It's coincidence. Yeah, well, how we know how good those teams were that they beat. You know, you can't just look at the premise like that and say, well, they're more successful when Joel sits than Ben.
I remember before when he was out and we had Bellinelli and them, they went out and the Sixers went on about an 8-game winning streak. You remember that? When Tim Embiid was out.
Arnold, what are you saying? What do you want from me here?
I'm just saying.
Well, Embiid's not important. Is that what you're saying? What are you saying?
I'm saying he's important.
Okay. He's only the MVP of the league. So I guess he is pretty important.
But he's an important cloud in our team when we 24-4 when the starting five plays. That's all.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm sorry. I didn't know what this point was there. So, I thought I gave him enough time.
You did. He never fully landed
the point there. Because I think his point was, they lose less frequently when Ben's out or Embiid's out, whatever he was saying. He was making the case that Ben is then ultra more important to winning than Embiid is, which is a fallacy.
They need everybody to win.
Yes.
To win this year, no matter who they play, they need everybody. They need full strength squad.
Correct.
Or they're going to come up short. Especially those two. Maybe they could survive a Curry or a Green. Maybe. They definitely can't survive Tobias, Embiid, or Simmons being out in the playoffs. They can't survive it.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Mike in Levittown. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm driving home from work. Mm-hmm. Look, this team, I called a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to say the same thing that I said then. This team gives me the same exact vibes as the Eagles did in 2017 when they won the ring. Watching this team play, Joel Embiid is the best player on the court at all times against anybody. Doesn't matter who they're playing. Steph Curry, I believe, over this win streak, averaging 15 or 16 a game, shooting over 50% from the three-point line. Danny Green's been shooting good from the three-point line. Tobias Harris all year throughout multiple times has shown you he can hit the clutch bucket. Ben Simmons, I don't want to say it is what it is. I don't want to get you mad again, but I mean, he's just not going to shoot at this point for whatever reason it is.
I know he's not going to shoot. I'm not asking for this magical thing to happen to playoffs where he's going to shoot. I know he's not going to shoot, so ultimately, he has to be more aggressive offensively. Exactly. What I'm saying, I'm answering the people that say he doesn't have to shoot. He does.
He definitely should. But if he doesn't, though, he needs to get at least 12 field goal attempts, make 7 of them. If they're all going to be short baby hooks or backing down.
I'm okay with that. That's an example of being aggressive to the basket, trying to score the ball.
He showed this year. He flipped the switch pre-All-Star break to get the All-Star nomination, and then he went back down.
Yes.
But, if he flips that switch, man, the Sixers are so dangerous. Their defense is going to win them the championship.
Well, I hope you're right. We shall see what we shall see.
How do you feel about switching Matisse and Seth Curry? Having Matisse slide to the starting lineup.
Matisse is so unoffensive that you take a 3-point area away from your team when you do that. I wouldn't overthink it.
Yeah, but if you play Brooklyn, I just figure Matisse can match up with Harden. You have Ben on Durant, and then, I guess Danny Green will guard.
Sure, he'll get a lot of playing time against that team. But again, he's just like, I watched him Saturday. He's just got no O at all. None.
He walks a fine line between being vitally important and completely unplayable.
Yeah, he just has like no ability to score the basketball.
And if only, that doesn't happen usually. What Maxey's been able to do in, during a season, that kid, by the way, he's helping them next season. Not this season. He's going to help them next season.
I agree.
He can.
He's quick.
The fact that he's added, and he's shooting threes all of a sudden, which he couldn't do. You could tell he's working a lot, but he also doesn't have to play. He wasn't playing the minutes. It's harder to get all that practice time when you're playing the big minutes.
I was thinking about this because I was driving home from the game Saturday, and he was on post game with Tom McGinnis, and he is such a great kid. He's great. One of those kids that you just want to put your arm around him and give him, hey, come over here, you know, one of those deals, right? I hope he doesn't change.
I don't,
you know, because I've seen guys come into the league, they're so likable, then obviously just the road. Well, with cynicism over there, it becomes a bother to him. I just hope that doesn't happen to the kid. I've seen so many people like that.
Doc better give him some minutes next year.
Yeah, he'll get minutes.
Because I think what would happen is, because he puts in the work. He comes back after, and he's going to go out west this summer playing the best five-on-fives in the world against the best players he can find. He's going to work on his game hard with that clutch crew, LeBron and them. If he comes back and he's still not getting minutes, that would discourage him. But short of that, I hope so too. That's why I would have hurt my feelings as a trader. I think he's going to end up giving this city more than he's going to take from the city.
He's a delightful kid to watch play.
Yeah.
And that matters. All right. So the one thing I want to just counter with the Doc thing that he and this notion of people stuff it down my throat that he leads the league in leading the league in 3-point assists. Okay, I get it. Here's the thing. The 3-point shot is a harder shot than the 10-footer that he would get, right? So when he's kicking it back, when he's defeated and can't get any further, he's going to kick it back to an open shooter. Good premise, right? But you're only going to shoot 3-pointers at what kind of a clip? 37%? Right? So the percentage of that shot isn't as high as the 10-foot percentage shot. So what about the missed threes? So when a kick out and a missed three, would you rather have a missed three or a made two? That's the kind of argument that he provides open threes. I get it. But sometimes those open threes are not going to go when his 10-footer would have gone.
That end, it's more if you are stopped, like Embiid gets double, he has to kick out. It's that it shouldn't be preordained all the time that he's going to kick it out.
He does it in a lot of it in emergency, which is fine. There's going to be an open shooter. People are going to gang up down. If Ben's got the ball, they're going to obviously gang. Somebody's going to be open. He finds the open shooter. That's all good.
I don't like when it's preordained. Like, we know, okay, this guy's not going to shoot. And then he kicks it out. Where it's like, you could have got there. It was preordained that you were going to. And that's what I don't
like. If it's preordained, then they can get back and challenge that 3-point shot.
And then it's a tougher shot.
Right.
And that happens too much in the playoffs in the past. Now, maybe it's different this year.
Yeah.
It'd be different.
Like, this stat, he provides open threes. All the leagues league and provide an open three. Okay, but then guess what? Then there's a lot of threes aren't going to go in. Whereas that two he could have taken would have gone in. All right, so you only get two instead of three. It counts. Because the other alternative is zero. All right, let's go to Scott and Berwyn. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott. Scotty Scott. Oh, Scott's out. Let's go to Richard in Plymouth Meeting. Richard.
How are you? How is everybody?
Hello, Richard.
Okay, my first time calling, but I listened to this Simmons piece and everything else is involved in basketball. Just let me say this. Simmons driving to the hole and kicking out will hurt us when it comes time to get out of the East. He does things that normal players don't expect you to do. When you see a big man go to the hole and get within 5 feet of the basket, you are settling down. And the defense says he's going to kick it back out. So we're not going to even go at him. He gets double teamed, and he automatically kicks it out. That hurts when we get to the playoffs, and we need that third person. The 3-point shot, it's too far out. The percentage is low, and he's right there at the basket. He doesn't know how to do a finger roll. He doesn't know how to lay it in. He doesn't even know how to do the dunk properly if he can't get it on the run. So if he doesn't step up, and lay those, they'll put the ball up, because at least Embiid can get it. Put the ball up at the basket. Don't pass it all the way back out and start the play all over again. It just doesn't make sense. He's not doing traditional basketball in a time period that people think, oh, he's this and he's that. He's everything except what you're going to need to get out of the East.
Well, we'll see. If that happens, then obviously we're going to have the big conversation on whether you can survive with him.
True.
But like I said, like, I'm not going to react to that now. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. Because him playing that way might be successful enough to get him to the NBA Finals and might be successful enough to win the NBA Finals. That's still not going to make his game complete for me, but if they win, I can't complain.
Everybody else is not going to be able to shoot threes like that when you're talking about seven-game series and people making adjustments to what's happening.
I hear you. I hear you. That's why I say I would like to have him be more of a threat to get you 20 rather than you'll have to rely on the two open shooters that technically that will be open at the three-point line.
Exactly.
All right, man.
Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, I get it. I understand what's up here. That's why some people are a little jumpy. Some people go, he doesn't have to shoot. And this Doc rhetoric leads people that way. Well, look what Doc said. Look what Popovich said. Phenomenal with Popovich and Doc. They're saying the coach thing.
Right. Well, he's doing it in a positive. He's not the Eagles. But he's lying to us. Like, it's blatant. He's lying to us.
Of course he is.
The Ben lie or the we're going to play 100 guys in the play. Everybody's playing in the playoffs. That's a lie. Like, that's a blatant lie. Like, he's not going to play, unless they're blowouts, he's not playing 11 guys in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Are you crazy?
He says things to put people at bay.
Right, and it also keeps those guys motivated. So if you're a fringe guy, like, let's say right now you're Korkmaz, you're Maxi, you're Shake, Thop. You don't know how the playoffs are going to go. You know that the guys that are going to play, you're going to stay engaged and stay working hard because the coach, you think the coach might call your number. You'll figure out by the second round, third round, that they're not going to call your number anymore, and hopefully you still stay ready. But he keeps those guys engaged. And he's probably figured out that Ben's the type, if you publicly say something bad, he'll shut it down. So you don't say something bad, and you pretend like everything's okay. Everybody faking like it's all right. We have to know better. He's lying to us sometimes. I think he has to sometimes.
but these
are lies.
Listen, do you think that I ask this earnest question before we get to a break here? Do you think, like, Doc's he's got to meet with his staff during some kind of coaching room? Him and his 73 assistants, and Alan Lumpkin and Scotty Rigo are in there. Whoever's attached with the Sixers. Do you think that Doc is saying, you know, fellas, I think we're all in agreement that 100% that we don't care if Ben shoots. You actually think that?
I would say
and
no.
People go, yeah, Doc, I agree with you. And Scotty Rigo goes, yeah, you're right.
Of course not.
Of course it's right. Of course not.
Of course not.
All right, 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. It's the Mike Mastinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Mastinelli Show.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's time to update our Twitter poll, and then we'll get the Nats news for today. And don't forget, Taron Hatcher coming up at 4 o'clock. And more conversation about Mayor of Easttown and the dialogue that was spoofed on Saturday Night Live. But first of all, the Twitter poll was brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
All righty, Mike. Today's poll has 1,000 votes on it so far. If you're not all in on the Sixers making the finals, what's the main reason? 35% say the Nets, 35% say Ben Simmons, 21% say the bench, and 9% say the Bucks. So split between the Nets and Ben.
Split between the Nets and Ben. Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm. And that, and this the
well,
thing.
It's very real, Ed.
And that's the part that's, again, I don't know if it's fair, Mike. I don't know if it's unfair. I don't know how to look at it, but that's I feel like it's a sentiment.
It's probably a little unfair at this point because we have no idea what's going to happen in the playoffs with him.
Right,
and people, it's unfair to assume that that's going to hold you back.
Right,
you know we can't expect a little more growth in whatever form it is as an older, wiser player and a team that would have won two series going into the.
Right.
Finals.
And we've seen players jump in the playoffs. Yeah. We have seen that in the past. Murray last year with Denver being an example. Unfortunately, he's hurt this year. He was a much better playoff player than he was in the regular season. Even though he was good, he went to great.
Yes.
Ben, we all know it's in Ben's DNA to be great.
Yes.
Just will it unlock?
All right. Let me give you the numbers, and then we get to some of the great stories around the world. 610-622-0975 is how you climb in. But right now, as we go around the world, as Natalie goes around the world to discover three interesting stories, it's called Nats News.
That's right, Mike. First, we're going to go to New Zealand, where there's been an issue with potholes. And a man has decided to draw attention to the infrastructure issue by spending 3 years spray painting penises around the potholes as a way to draw attention to them and get an immediate response to the issue.
I like this idea.
Which I think is brilliant.
It's vulgar defacing,
but
it leads to a greater good.
Yeah, so these are dangerous potholes that he said that he had complained about a couple times, and I guess he just travels around New Zealand. He sprayed more than 100 of them in potholes around New Zealand.
So I guess it would be really easy to pull off since the pothole would be the back lower half of the graphic.
Yeah,
the D.
Yeah. So
yes,
he. But he said that it's working.
Good.
Because they're going out to repair the potholes, and he's been fined a bunch of times. But he said...
But they can't ignore it.
No, and he said that, the Auckland Transport gave a reply saying that the person responsible has placed themselves at risk, as well as potentially causing a safety risk and a distraction for other drivers. But is that the distraction, or is when your car, ping-pongs out of one of those divots...
Right.
The distraction?
It actually might alert you to the pothole.
Right, because you see something, I see the pothole, now I can straddle it versus it ripping my car apart.
It's like putting a long cone up there, rather.
Yep, it's like a cone.
Right.
It's a cone.
It's just a cone.
Yeah, just with, circular, a circular addition.
Is that a cone in your pants or you just happen to see? But
it's a cone.
Otherwise, here's the thing. Once you're out, you gotta get the whitewash. You gotta scrub that off. Once you're there, you might as well fill the hole.
Exactly.
Right. You bring the road crew out.
Perfect.
Yeah, that was an episode of the league where a Jewish person painted. It's not appropriate. He painted a swastika on a pothole to get them to come fix the pothole.
Okay.
I mean, he got in trouble because he got caught on Google Maps.
It's actually a good idea, that guy in New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, he's proud of it too. He said, "I'll take it if the people in New Zealand are safe." So. Good on him.
Well, but here's the other. Like, do you actually have to do the penis? Like, could you? You could easily paint something else.
It has to be offensive, or they won't come out.
Yeah,
you can't like do a nice artwork piece, then they just leave it. Like, it has to be something gross. That's probably the nicest of the gross things you would need. You don't want to do a swastika for real.
Suppose you put a cross.
They'll leave it.
Yeah, or like a star.
They leave a cross.
Yeah, and he's not going to be hateful, so he's not going to paint anything that's going to be offensive.
That's what I mean. Okay. That's as dirty and clean as he can get.
And honestly, it's really just more of like two circles and what is that? Like an oval, like a long rectangular oval, I'd say.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's easily to pull off.
But yeah.
Suppose you drew the form of a woman.
I mean, that would probably
the same
work
thing?
Too.
Would it have the same effect?
I don't necessarily think so, no.
No, probably not.
Correct?
No, no.
The form of a woman?
There's no.
No?
Would people be able to identify?
Yeah, well, and that takes longer.
Just be a
you can draw that
squiggles.
Quick to draw, right, to draw a woman. That takes more time.
Well, with yeah, just draw the legs out.
I mean,
they're not coming.
That's too much.
Okay,
but yeah, he said that he's proud of it and is more than happy to identify his crimes for turning attention toward the life-threatening issue that Auckland has faced. So good for that man in New Zealand.
Awesome.
Back to the United States, where at Kid Rock's Honky Tonk Bar in Nashville, a man was arrested for using his colostomy bag as a weapon during an altercation with police officers.
What?
Yeah, so apparently there was a disturbance at Kid Rock's Honky Tonk Bar, and when the officers got there, security had removed the guy, but he wouldn't leave, and then he pulled his colostomy bag out of his pants and started to swing it around like a weapon. And two officers were hit with the contents.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, he got that from The Wire.
Did that happen in The Wire?
Yeah, I don't want any ass. Yeah, Bubbles' friend Johnny. Do you remember they did the colostomy trick on so they could steal copper?
No. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, but you can't.
That's where he got it from.
Nah, that guy didn't see The Wire.
I don't know.
I didn't hear about this story, Matt, but I've heard there's been a lot of trouble down at that Kid Rock bar.
Yeah.
A lot of troublemakers. Mm-hmm. It's like the Double Deuce.
Yeah.
He needs somebody.
Come down there.
No, there's a lot of bad things, apparently. In all serious, I didn't hear about this, but there's been fights and COVIDs and all kinds of stuff at Kid Rock's place.
Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse.
They did not down there and Wade Garrett.
Yeah, they didn't release a response.
Take care of it.
They didn't release a response, but yeah, they were hit with the contents. So learn something new every day.
And what's he doing in a bar?
He apparently was so drunk he couldn't stand.
But he obviously has trouble with his digestion.
Yeah.
What's he doing drinking a lot of alcohol?
That's true. All right, so final story of the day, Mike. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Well.
Because this is shocking the world.
Okay.
So apparently we know how J-Lo and A-Rod split, right?
Just which made to your delight.
Within weeks ago.
Well, that's my delight. I mean, I'm just saying, A-Rod sniffing around with the Southern Charm girl,
Well, anyway. Yeah, good riddance.
Well, now we get the real truth.
Is that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck enjoyed a vacation together after 17 years apart. What? They've reunited.
Yeah, I read that story. That was after the split of it with A-Rod, but Ben came.
Yeah, sources just confirmed today.
Well, awfully quick.
Wait, Ben reads the papers.
Wait a minute.
He probably gave her a phone. Call right away.
He definitely called her.
J-Lo was so heartbroken over A-Rod because it was all about him being wrong, and it couldn't possibly be her and her 97 divorces and everything. Couldn't be her. She's already moved on vacation with Ben Affleck.
I think they're both narcissists that enjoy attention from the other people of the other sex. So Ben Affleck came in there, she goes, he's not a guy who bartends down the street. He's Ben Affleck. So why not?
Come on.
That's what he is.
Yeah, so apparently he was seen at her house, and then they realized that their chemistry cannot be denied. How long do we give them? What if they actually get married and then we get a Geely 2?
He's got to be a wacko, Ben.
Oh, for sure.
Never satisfied.
They might get married. They'll get divorced, though, because it's still J-Lo.
He's fallen in love with the fact that people think he's good looking.
Yeah.
So it's an entitlement for him.
Yeah, apparently he reached out to her to see how she was doing, and they had dinner together a few times.
That's smart, though.
No, of course
that's
he
real,
did.
That's
and
good
it's natural,
game, though.
And the chemistry is real.
That's smart, though. You jump in there. How you doing? I'm just checking on you.
17 years later.
I'm here for you,
Jenny. I'm here for you, J-Lo. You know, anything you need, one of my biggest regrets. I mean, I know what he said because I got it played out. My biggest regrets. You know, I mean, I love my kids.
Yeah.
But when I look at them, I just wonder what could have been if me and you had stayed together. Oh, man, that would work, too. Oh, that would work.
She did say,
as I said,
in 2014 that it was probably her first big heartbreak. So maybe this is a chance to repair. And I'm just going to sneak this one in, Mike. I don't know if you read yet that Tim Tebow's returning to the NFL.
Yes. Yeah. I signed with I know Urban Meyer's been talking it up for the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. So he finally signed Tim Tebow, who apparently can't get a regular job. And he will play tight end.
Yeah, but play baseball. That didn't work.
Yeah.
Seems like a guy who just is a bit of an opportunist that...
Yeah, well, he doesn't know anything else but the athletic part of his whole life, so now he's going to try to do this, which, good luck to him. Maybe it'll work. Urban Meyer says he can absolutely use him as a tight end.
It's just like 2007, Bennifer, Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I don't wish him luck.
We're just back in time.
Yeah, I don't wish him luck. I don't wish him luck, but we'll see how it happens. It'll be interesting. But I definitely do not wish him luck.
Well, all right. You dislike him?
Yes, greatly. Going back to the homeschool thing, and he's a guy who doesn't think the rules really apply to him.
Yeah.
And he's been very entitled his entire life.
Yeah.
So I don't wish him well or I'm saying I don't want him to fail.
Yeah, I'm just not wishing him well. Is he fast enough to play tight end in the NFL?
He's a pretty fast guy.
Yeah.
He's fast as Ertz.
At what age is he?
Oh, he's over 30. I mean, he's as fast as Ertz is.
Yeah, but, you know, the legs atrophy, the baseball running is not the same as football.
I think he's been training. I think he hired a trainer.
We'll see. It'd be interesting.
Last I saw him, he was hosting a home construction show.
Yeah. He should probably just go ahead and go to that lane.
Yeah.
It must just be nice to get every job that you want.
I would do the TV thing. And he grew up with money. Remember, he's a rich
kid.
He's
not good on TV, though. What's that special about him? He's like, you know.
But he gets to waltz into wherever he wants.
Yeah, he's a blob.
No matter how much time has passed, no matter anything.
Yeah,
good for him.
Todd's been his whole
life.
It
must be nice to be a...
Picked a school he was going to go to, wasn't supposed to be able to pick. It goes back a long ways.
All right, let's take a break. That was good Nats news for today. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come and back with your phone calls. And here's how you get in. It's 610-632-0975. And let's talk a little bit about the Phillies. And a heartbreak of Saturday night's game. And then they lose last night on national TV. Heartbreak city for Phil's fans on Saturday. People can't believe they lost that game. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ah, 3:45, Mike Mastelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, the Phillies. Have you noticed that Joe Girardi is in love with the double switch?
Yeah.
Have you noticed this?
Yes.
All right, so let's look at Saturday's game because that's the first example where it comes up. So they're sailing along. Vinny, 3-0 lead. And, of course, here we get to the sixth. And, you know, it's the crack is going to come. So the crack comes. Freeman hits a home run. So that's 3-1. So now he decides to take Velasquez out of the game, which is probably a good call at that point. Well, he double switches in the sixth inning.
I don't understand.
He's got. First of all, Scott Kingery should be nowhere near a major league field right now. Come on now. It's pathetic to watch him play the game. So he double switches, puts him in the game, moves Bohm to first. And so thereby, you've reduced your offensive capabilities in a 3-1 game right away.
Right.
Because he's now in the game, Kingery.
Mm-hmm.
So now the game goes on and on and on, and they still look like they're comfortably in control. And we get now to the ninth inning. It's the ninth inning. So Sandoval comes out as a pinch hitter in the ninth. Bang! It's another one. Two-run homer to tie the game. So there it is. That's the one lead they blow where they could have nailed down a save, and they don't because Hector Neris gives it up. Like, he's going to do almost every other appearance. He's going to get it out of the inning. The next appearance, he's going to give up a bad home run. That's what he is. They don't have any better at this point.
Right.
So now they go to the 10th. It's a clean 10th. And we go to the 11th, and the Phillies... But that little spunky Maton doubles.
and puts him in the lead.
Again.
Yes. So now it's 4-3. Now in the 11th, here we go. Connor Brogdon and Gregorius makes an error.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the 11th, they tie the game. All right? The Braves tie the game on the throwing error. Pache scores.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to the 12th, and the Phillies bust out again. And they get three runs, and they lead 7-4 to bottom of the 12th.
And that should have been it.
I
thought it was over.
Now you get De Los Santos in the game.
Uh-huh.
And he's not very successful because he gives up walk, single, double.
The walk is what bothered me because he walks the leadoff hitter. You can't do that.
Exactly. And then it unravels, and the Braves fight back, and they wound up winning the game. So, because Matt Moore gives it up. So, like, the Phillies, the double switch is what's bothering me. Sometimes I look at them and I go, common managing. It's like the least bit of thought that you can possibly have. It's double switch because people double switch. But it's not in the sixth inning. You should never double switch in the sixth inning.
Because you can still get more runs and maybe...
No, I don't get it.
You could have got more runs a few times because he knows... Now, if it's a 10-run lead or something, but if a 2-run lead could be given up, you need to still tack on more, leave your bats in the lineup. Why would you put a guy who's an automatic out in the game?
Yeah, I understand. And one other thing on this note, and we'll get back to the phones. Like Doc Rivers, like these managers and coaches these days are deathly afraid to give any kind of criticism or tell like it is to anybody outside their own little world. Now, I guess if I was a coach or manager, I'd probably do the same thing because I want to protect my players at all costs. But it becomes downright silly because Hoskins is like, oh, for whatever. And so they drop him to the seventh hole and they put Segura in the second hole. Well, Girardi explains it by, well, we just couldn't keep Segura down there. It was so hot. Well, I know why you're doing it. You're going to take some pressure off Reese High not hitting. It doesn't insult my intelligence. And then Doc with the Ben thing. So I guess management coaches going overboard these days to protect their players because it's that kind of culture where you can't offend any of your players? Or is this a good thing to protect your players?
Well, also, though, the media now, though, is more hot-takey than before. I think some of it's a reaction to the stimulus they get from the media where they'll skew things and grill. Like if he just said, hey, I want to give him a blow to the right. Joe Girardi has lost all confidence, and that would be the headline.
All right, so it's a good thing you're saying.
I think it has to be. If he says one small thing about Ben Simmons, Doc Rivers says Ben Simmons not a franchise player. Like that's what would happen now. That's what the hot take media does.
All right,
now.
Probably, and because it's COVID, you get dribs and drabs, and you have to kind of make your own stories without really.
So we got
to
manufacture
in there. All right,
couldn't follow up, but I'm pretty sure Doc Rivers is saying that it's Embiid's team, and Simmons is just a bystander.
Well, we just couldn't keep Segura. Down there.
Yeah, come on. Segura came back for one game.
It's got a Paul at Center City. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Paul?
I was wondering for a while. I called right after you had your talk about Ben Simmons.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm hearing about the Phillies, and I want to hear more of your expert analysis of where they're seeing.
Oh, we lost him.
He was playing games.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, that's not how he sounded when he got screened.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's go. Caron in South Philly. What's up, Caron?
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
Man, I appreciate it. I just want to hit on Ben Simmons a little bit. I'm going to tell you where it went downhill. And I'm a fan of him. But that All-Star weekend, man, he wasn't an All-Star this year. Tobias Harris should have been an All-Star. And they gave it to him. And he got spoiled. He's still young. He's spoiled. And he's at the point where I don't have to take my game up another notch because I'm All-Star. I'm going to tell you how we can fix him, though. When you pull Joel out, he has to go down and play center. 6'10", softy. He should average at least 11 points from the foul line. He got to work on his foul shooting. And he got to go down and get physical. I come from South Philly, man. They foul you all day long. He needs to come down here where we at. Just get fouled.
What?
Yeah, that's actually not a good idea. But
No.
Yes.
But honestly, he needs to play more power forward and get off the ball.
and work on foul shooting. And he can get about 15, 16.
They'll do some of that, but still, you're taking away the good things, the dynamic things that Ben does with the ball in his hands if you just limit it to that. So you'll occasionally see the setup like that.
That's not going to get us over the hump.
Well, how do you know? How do you know?
It's not.
Yeah, Karen, come on,
man. I'll buy you dinner.
I don't want you to buy me dinner. I'm just saying, let's look at the reality of the situation here. They're going to get the number one seed, right? So the team, they won't get a good team to play until the finals. Now, that good team is going to be tenderized, right? Plus the Nets, if it's the Nets, they haven't even played these guys together yet. So how do you automatically
go? One of them to win a game by themselves.
But you don't know how they're going to react when they're all together on the floor. Like, why do you round it off and say the Sixers are going to be in trouble without even waiting to see it?
I didn't say they were going to be in trouble. It's just saying it's not going to get us over the hump.
All right, that's what you're saying. They're in trouble. Because not getting over the hump means trouble. If they don't get over the hump, it's going to be a dreadful disappointment.
Yeah, unless the Nets are somehow a juggernaut, and you just say, you know what, the Sixers played great, the Nets were just better.
You think the people here will say that?
I think it depends on how it goes. Like, if it didn't
get
you...
admit that with Toronto. Toronto was better. People weren't ready to admit that they were better. Toronto was better.
Toronto was better because Kawhi was more ready. But if I'm saying hypothetically the Nets were full strength, and they beat the Sixers in seven.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that I would be able to admit, you know what, the Sixers played great because they got it to seven, but the Nets with those three guys were better. And to me, that wouldn't then be a disaster.
If they don't beat the Nets, it's going to all come down to Ben's lap. You know that.
Oh, Ben, no. Ben will take the blame.
Yes.
Therefore,
it's going to be totally disappointing to the family. It might be not disappointing to you. You're looking at it rationally and logical. It's going to be totally disappointing to the fan base.
Yes, and it'll be tougher for him next season because all next season will be about what's he going to do next playoffs.
All right, we're going to roll into the 4 o'clock hour. Taron Hatcher at 4. We'll touch on the fly. Last game tonight. Yay. I'm sorry. It's been a dreadful season. I couldn't wait for it to get over. It's been droning on. I just want it over. And then off season, they need to do what they needed to do. But we'll talk to Taron about what went bad and where they are at this point, even as a franchise, after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. Well, tonight, and it's a lowly campaign for your Philadelphia Flyers who came into the season with so much promise. And all of a sudden, about a month and a half ago, it just fizzled into oblivion. And tonight they complete it with a kind of a meaningless regular season game. Your Flyers, they only topped the Devils and the Sabres in this East division. So let's get to Skinny on what's up with this franchise and where things went wrong. You see her on Flyers pregame, postgame, between periods, along with Scott Hart now. Taron Hatcher joins us in the Comcast Business Live, NBC Sports Philly. Hello, Taron.
Hey, how we doing, Mike?
Well, I don't know, Taryn. I just wanted this season. I just wanted to get over with. I lost interest in even watching the games lately. It was such a fall off the earth that I can't even process it. So that's why I'm asking you to process it. What happened?
It's, you know, Mike, it's hard to say, because it feels like, you know, there's a lot of holes in the ship that seemed last year like it was absolutely, you know, unbreakable, indestructible. But, you know, I've said this on the show a lot, on pre and post game a lot, and I think it's true. When you have struggles with your goaltender, it kind of reverberates in a lot of places. And obviously Carter Hart struggled a lot this year, and then Brian Elliott was leaned on a lot, and that's not really his intended use. He's such a phenomenal kind of complimentary piece to the pipes, but they were forced to lean on him a lot more this year, and I think that even kind of hurt his play at times. And then it kind of, from back to front, there were issues when it came to all of that. I will say, I don't think this team got to some of the players on the team. Like when I look at TK, Travis Konecny, and his struggles, I don't think he got to prepare the way he normally does in the off season. I think that really impacted him. And, you know, you can't deny the COVID pause that they had midway through February really, it seems like derailed some things. At the beginning of the season, they were winning games they shouldn't have won because, quite frankly, their goalies were keeping them in it. And we can't forget that through the first about, I would say, 6 weeks of the season. And then they had that COVID pause. And it seemed like for a little while they were going to be okay. And then from the month of March on, it was kind of downhill from there. And I have to wonder at that point, I can remember as we were broadcasting through the month of March, we had a game every other day. And even doing the broadcast, you were kind of burnt out, just never having kind of actual rest. And broadcasting is me just doing research and talking. So I can't imagine playing in those games. There's a lot of questions coming out of this season, especially because you went into it feeling so about what you had. So I don't have all the answers, and I don't really know if anyone does.
I guess what we're all after is, you know, this team came in this year as a promising team with a good young core, which meant that they were going to be good for a while, and we have to worry about them. Are they still that, or is this going to have to be some kind of a mini overhaul the general manager is going to have to do?
I wouldn't put it past Chuck Fletcher to make some big moves in the offseason. I really wouldn't. The one thing I will say is that when you read stuff that the insiders around the league are, like the guys who have just in-depth, really good sources all around the NHL, a lot of front offices across the league have agreed that they're basing their individual player evaluations primarily off of everything prior to this season. They think this season is not a good representation of what individual players can do. So I wouldn't harp too much on anyone who was previously playing well that didn't play great this season. That being said, does that mean this season wasn't disappointing and certain players shouldn't have played better? Absolutely, they should have played better. But I think we will see some guys bounce back. We're starting to see, like, Travis Konecny play more like we've seen him play again. We're seeing Joel Farabee refine his success that he had early in the season. It's such a wonky year that it's hard to judge individual performances. GMs across the league have kind of said they're in a conundrum about it, but I would not put it past Chuck Fletcher to really make some moves, especially defensively. Once Matt Niskanen retired, you knew they were going to be massive skates to try to fill, and they certainly did not find an answer to that equation. And so something big has to happen there to find a really good veteran defenseman, because it seems like once teams find them, they truly don't let them go. But I think if I had to guess, that's number one at the top of Chuck Fletcher's priority list with a bunch of stars next to it, and it really should be.
All right, they have a couple of interesting veteran situations here, not the least of which is the captain. And I know he doesn't want to go anywhere, and he would love to play out his whole career here. I'm not so sure that this would be a part of breaking up what the Flyers are right now to make them better if they did without him. What happens with Giroux? What happens with Voracek? What happens with the Kevin Hayeses? What happens with Gostisbehere?
Well, a lot of that's interesting when it comes to the expansion draft as well. So Kevin Hayes and Claude Giroux both have no waive clauses, meaning they can't move. The team has to protect them. And unless they decide to, no move clauses. And unless they decide to waive them, they can't be moved. The interesting thing, and we saw it with Vegas, with the Vegas expansion draft, is a lot of teams can try to entice that expansion team to take a bigger contract, especially in this flat cap era, by adding in, you know, draft picks or, you know, essentially other prospects to spice the pot there a little bit. If you look at what happened with Fleury going to Vegas, you see a perfect example of taking a big contract and incentivizing Vegas to take him. So maybe you see that with like a Voracek, or Shane Gostisbehere has done a lot for his stock since last time I talked to you when he was put on waivers. So maybe there'll be interest there when it comes to the expansion draft. But I mean, we're all sitting in the same seat right now, I think, looking at everyone top to bottom being evaluated. And there's a ton of questions, and there's a possibility for some big, big moves. And if you look at Chuck Fletcher, even if you look at what his dad did when he was working in front offices, that family has shown some propensity to make some big moves. So I don't think he's a guy who does not hesitate to pick up the phone and try to make something happen. The problem is, he mentioned earlier this season at the trade deadline, he was calling everybody. Nobody was calling back. You'd hope that some of these guys have done enough, or that Chuck Fletcher can incentivize them enough that they start calling back.
Taryn, who could be the biggest need they would lose in the expansion draft? So they have to protect Giroux. Because of his status, right? So he would.
Giroux and Hayes. They have to protect
both of them would protect it. So who might be the biggest name they could lose in an expansion draft? I assume they would not protect Voracek, but he makes a lot of money. So would they lose him?
They could. It depends. So they have to submit their protection list, the players they want to protect. They can either protect 8 skaters and a goalie, or they can divvy it up and protect a certain amount of forwards, a certain amount of defensemen, and a goalie. And depending on who they choose to leave vulnerable, that's who they could lose. So, yeah, you could see them lose a Voracek if they don't protect him. But the question is would Seattle want to take on Voracek's contract? That becomes a question in and of itself. Or would Chuck Fletcher want to try to incentivize them to take Jake Voracek by, you know, adding draft picks or a prospect to the pot somehow? There's a lot of ways to do it. The same expansion draft rules that existed in 2017 exist this time around. I was talking to the Flyers media relations people and have certain moves come together. So there's a lot that could happen. But I would imagine with Jake Voracek's contract, someone like Jake probably would go unprotected if they don't want to lose him, his contract alone would be a big burden for Seattle to take on.
Yeah.
I think personally, the biggest name they could lose in the offseason could be Brian Elliott. We'll see if he decides to continue to play after tonight or try to go somewhere else. Yeah. But I think he was the unsung hero last season. I've said it over and over again. And he's a big piece of the Flyers' success that they had last year, even Carter's success that he had last year. I think he's kind of the under the radar story that I think deserves a little more attention. Honestly,
last question is it's interesting because the old Flyer regime definitely would have fired a coach. Fletcher stayed with Alain Vigneault, and it's interesting because coaches in the NHL, for whatever reason it is, they seem to flame out more than other coaches. Players get tired of the mess, whatever it is, but they get moved a lot. Torello just got zipped, and it happened. So what was the onus in staying with Alain Vigneault?
I think, again, because it's a strange season. Through the entire month of March, the Flyers didn't really have a true practice, and that's where the season kind of went awry. They didn't have 2 days off in a row for, I think, the entire month of March, and when you're not practicing, especially when you're having defensive breakdowns, they're hard to address. And so I think that there was Chuck Fletcher was in no rush to make a move on Alain Vigneault, who led them to such success last year based on what was this schedule was brutal. I think it did physically run a lot of guys into the ground. And I know everyone in the league is playing the same schedule, so it's not an excuse. But I think you do assess things with a grain of salt in that particular situation. That being said, I think some of the comments that Chuck Fletcher has made when it comes to evaluating everyone, I think there will be some added pressure on Alain Vigneault come next season. And at the end of last year, everyone was singing his praises because of what he was able to do here. And when you look at what happened last season, you understand why. So I think he'll be in a much different position going into next year in terms of they're going to evaluate everyone with a really big magnifying glass this off season and at the beginning of next year. But I just don't think anybody's ready to really put a stake in anything based off of what happened this year, just because of how unique and different this season was.
Last night, tonight, that we'll see. Are you going on a long vacation after this, or you, what's next for Taryn Hatcher and NBC Sports Philly?
I'm right back to work. Somebody tweeted at me the other day, like, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, I have to do the warm-up 2 days after that, and then I have to do Sportsnet Central, and I'm going to be on the podcast,
okay,
and I'll fill in on NBC 10.
All right, we'll see
around. I will be lurking everywhere, and then I'll go to San Diego and Hawaii later in the summer.
Oh, nice.
Not just
nice.
Yet.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Taryn, thanks a lot for coming on. Great season, and, well, we'll see how it ends tonight.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get 2 points for you tonight, Mike.
Oh, you need the two. Got to get those 2 points tonight. thanks, Taryn. All right, that's Taryn Hatcher, NBC Sports Philly, on the Comcast Business Hotline. The all-important 2 points. We'll get them 2 points closer to the Rangers. In case you're interested.
Yeah. That's
just
hey.
It's,
yeah. Yay. Go team.
Yeah.
But she summed it up. It's a lot went wrong.
Yeah.
A lot went wrong.
Yes, it did.
But they are doing something big, though.
What?
If you go to the game tonight, you can get vaccinated.
That's right. It's the vaccination. Flyers doing a good job here. You go to the game, you get a vaccination.
Yep. Between 6 and 7:30, you can get vaccinated if you're heading down to the barn tonight. So
yeah, so that's a good opportunity for people who have not been vaccinated and maybe been reluctant. They're making it very easy for you to go to the arena, go to the barn, and get it done. All right, let's go back to the phones. Mike in Belmar. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
What's up, Mike?
How are you, Mike?
Happy Monday, man. I want to talk about Ben. And I want to come from a psychiatric level, and I know this is weird. But I got to believe that this guy has an inferiority complex to where maybe he's one of those guys that, you know, and you probably knew some of these guys growing up. If I can't be the best at anything, I'm not going to try. And I think that because I do believe that whether it's his upbringing or maybe it's, you know, just how he kind of grew up or his surroundings, that he was always told he was great. He was always told he was this and that. And it's not like Ben has a broken shot. The guy can shoot the ball. He just won't do it. And I think he's intimidated by some of the other players in the team. I mean, we've seen Tobias come up. Joel can obviously shoot from anywhere on the field. And I think he's one of those guys that needs to protect himself, saying, like, I'm afraid to fail here because I know I'm good at defense. I know I'm good at
defense. Yeah, it's possible. Like, we've discussed that very point. It is possible that he does that. But, I don't know. I've stopped trying to figure it out. I just don't understand it. Listen, it's not that difficult to shoot a 10, 15 footer. It's difficult to shoot a 3-pointer. There's no reason that an athletically coordinated guy shouldn't be able to perform that kind of a function.
No, totally agreed, bro. And you know what I think about it too is that why if you're a professional basketball player, and listen, Ben's one of the most renowned players in the league right now. And he's an all-star and he's a commodity. Why not have that confidence to try to help your team even more? I mean, even a guy with a broken shot like Markelle Fultz works his butt off to try to get his shot back to help his team. I don't understand the mentality and why are people...
I think he does practice enough of it to be able to perform it in the game. He just won't do it. He shoots it. It's not like he doesn't shoot a basketball. He shoots it all the time.
Yes. Like, he works on, that's one thing that when people say, outsiders, they'll go, he needs to work on it.
He just freezes up. I don't know.
He works on a lot. He works on foul shots. His foul shooting has actually turned back around. It was great. It was down, and then it's been better again lately. last few games he played. But the point is, work ethic is not the issue with Ben. I feel very comfortable saying that. It's not a lack of work with him. Mm-hmm. He works plenty hard. He works as hard as anybody else. He's a hard worker. It's not work when it comes to Ben.
Let's go with Sean and Perkasie. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. I just want to talk about Doc Rivers and Ben Simmons, but first, I want to touch on the caller from South Philly who said Ben Simmons needs to come down there and learn how to be tough. Why would a caller think a 6'10", 250-pound athlete that challenges LeBron, Joker, all the tough guys in the league, would learn how to be tough with him?
Well, it's just, yeah, it was a goofy thing to say.
Every top star in the league and wins.
Fans sometimes say goofy things. So, yeah.
Well, let's hope he just goes down to South Philly with that call and learns how to be tough.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But for Doc Rivers, earlier I listened to you guys and you were mentioning Doc Rivers not challenging Ben Simmons. I think Doc Rivers know he can't because look at last season when Brett Brown challenged him and it didn't end well for Brett Brown and just made him look silly. And I think Doc Rivers know that will happen to him. So
Doc Rivers got a lot of money coming to him. He doesn't worry about losing his job. If anybody has license to do some things, it's Doc Rivers. But I think that Doc does not want to bury his player. He has great respect for players that play in the league. And so he's not going to use the press to criticize him. But in a private moment, there's no way that a guy who knows that much about basketball, played it for so long, coached so long, is going to be content with a guy who doesn't want to take the 10-footer. It's bull crap. I almost said
I think you're right. But I think with Doc Rivers, he played in the league, obviously. He's had money for a long time. But when someone has money, the next thing they care about is maybe their respect. And I know Doc Rivers, he has a lot of guys' respect around the league and around the world.
He's biding his time. He's not going to do it now to mess up anything they're doing now. So this was a year where he had to get used to this situation, used to this team, coach this team, get him to a high level. He's not going to push that Ben button right now to interrupt anything.
And with the COVID thing, so many limited practices, remember, limited training camp. I think there's a day, if the Sixers come up short because of Ben Simmons, like apparently a nice chunk of fans think, this offseason, they'll advise him because they obviously don't work out. And in next training camp and next year, I think there will be a different approach. Because next year will be a regular 82 game over a longer period of time. More practices, more instruction, more pressure on the coach in year two. They'll be a lot different, I think, in year two if they come up short.
I hope. But like I said, I can picture it like Doc looking at Sam Cassell. Both of them play guard in this league, right? And they're looking at each other like in a quiet moment.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Don't want to shoot it. Sam. You know, like that conversation is going on.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about, I think it'll be different how they even approach Ben and maybe even what they do publicly if they come up short this year and it's a regular season next year.
Yeah, but like the people are trying to tell me they're content with him not shooting. Come on, man.
No way. They're not content with anything. They're not content with Embiid, and he's great. They're telling him to get better, too.
610-632-0975 is how you get in. The Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4:30. It's time for an update on our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Nat.
Alrighty, Mike, over 1,100 votes on this one. So far, if you're not all in on the Sixers making the finals, what's the main reason? 37% say Ben, 34% say the Nets, 20% go the bench, 9% say the Bucks. So Ben has taken the lead.
Yeah. Well, the bench is no box of chocolates now. Let's face it.
No, partially because they're playing too many guys. If he wouldn't play so many, it wouldn't look as bad.
Have you noticed Mike Scott? I feel sorry for him. He can't play like anymore. But
yeah, that knee went now.
Yeah, but he. Yeah, have you noticed that he tries to like he tries to like gallop?
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that
up and down the floor?
He tries to gallop.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about, but he like gallops to get to a spot. But once he's at the spot, he doesn't do anything anyway.
I don't think he can move much. I think that knee probably needed a surgery.
Yeah.
But if he did it during the season, it would have taken him out. It seems like he's toughing it out, not healthy, and now his time here is probably done, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, before we get back to the phones, this show is going on HBO right now. A lot of people are talking about it. It was written by Brad Inglesby, who is the son of Tom Inglesby, former Villanova star, and he's the brother of Martin Inglesby, who was a star at Notre Dame out of, I guess he went to Carroll, and he now is the head coach of the University of Delaware. So, nice little Philadelphia connection. And he wrote a screenplay and it turned into this series about it's taking place in Delaware County with some very Delaware County type characters. Mm-hmm. And there's a murder involved and a whole bit. It's an interesting storyline. And so it's got the attention of Saturday Night Live. When you get the attention of Saturday Night Live, it must be big, right? Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
Yeah, Kate Winslet being on the show really pushed it up a notch because she hasn't really done TV before.
Yeah,
she's a movie actress.
And so in the show, you get a lot of regional accents, a regional dialect, and so Saturday Night Live spoofed it. And I thought it was hysterical. And Nat, you felt you were offended a little bit.
Well, yeah, and like I said, I thought it was very funny.
Uh-huh.
But I have that chip on my shoulder about people making fun of the accent that there's a part where I think it's funny and then I'm insulted and then it's funny and then I'm insulted.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the attention to the region nonetheless because, it's the Philly thing when you're always like disrespected and blah, 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 blah. Why does every other city get attention?
It's never bothered me. And I used to travel a lot and people would say like in the Midwest, you have really you have an interesting accent. And I go, well, you sound different than me too, but I didn't bring it up.
It's
like wherever you were raised, you pick up that dialect.
Yeah.
So like, what's the big deal? I don't get it.
I don't know if it's just because ours is so harsh. And I think the University of Penn actually did a study on the Philadelphia dialect and just trying to figure out its origins. But I think it's just because it's so different and it's not like a southern, like it's just very specific to this area.
Yeah. All right. So Saturday Night Live spoofed the show. And are we ready for that, Ty? Can we play it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Here it is. This is Saturday Night Live spoof of Mayor from Easttown.
In a small town, somewhere between New York and D.C.,
county sent me to oversee this investigation.
Comes another story of a grizzled lady detective.
You call me Care. Everybody else does.
Jarker found the body over there.
What do we know so far?
I don't know. We know. All I know is what we don't know.
With a very specific accent.
I don't know. I know her. It's Owen's Dirter.
Dirter?
Did I stir? The daughter's been murdered.
Oh, daughter.
You've seen dead teens in New York, Chicago, and Boston. But what about another city with very specific whites? Pennsylvania whites.
Would you guys quit eating Wawa Hokies over the body, please?
Sorry, boss.
From the fingers of Mayor Easttown, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia comes.
So, is it my dirter?
And when she's murdered.
They murdered my dirter?
I'm afraid to sue.
My dirter had a baby dirter and they murdered her!
Murder Dirter, an extremely Pennsylvania crime show.
I got you the yin-yang and a cheesesteak to take the edge off.
Oh, thanks, Care.
Highly accurate, says the Delco Daily. The writers clearly Googled. They knew the foods and the towns.
Third on this dirter matches the steam down in Downington.
Del Roysford past Hoekessen.
That's Conchahawken?
No, past Hoekessen over by the Jangoff Bridge.
Great. And you guys can spell that for me later?
Starring an actress with a messy ponytail that says, forget I'm actually British.
Monday night. How did she get home?
I told you. She got home on her own.
Show me your favorite.
Point. I didn't murder no one's daughter. I got no idea how she ended up in the wooter.
What wooter?
The New York
York Times says so authentically Pennsylvania, I'm assuming. Absolutely everyone was related to each other.
Look here, I know why you're a cop. Because your pop was a cop. And your pop-pop was a cop. And your pop-pop's pop-pop was the original Philly fanatic. But it's not your fault you're sent drained in the Schuylkill on purpose.
How does he know all that?
Because he's my cousin. And he's my cousin. And that's my ex-husband's and that girl. Hey, Gare.
Let me guess, your cousin?
Maybe it's my granddaughter.
Granddaughter? How old are you?
Well, Philly 40.
Constantly overcast. A creak of three bad homes. And moments of true suspense.
Is that the killer?
Oh, no, that's just Gritty. Hey, Gritty! Get flyers!
Why'd you have murdered my daughter?
Owen, I don't know who did your daughter's murder, all right?
Might I be of some help? I'm Father Dover. Your daughter and I were friends.
Oh, okay, so he did it. He is the Dirter Murderer.
Yeah.
You got me.
For sure.
Murder Dirter. This is where Joe Biden's from. Wow.
All right, so
it's good. I think
that's pretty funny.
It's so
now,
good.
Now, they went overboard with the Dirter, because people say daughter. You know, that's how they get with the W they throw in there. But, oh, Kessing.
That was good. I also love the Philly 40 just like sent me.
Philly
because
40.
That's a thing.
They got the fanatic in there. They get the Wawa Hoogie over the buddy.
The cousin was one of my favorites.
Yeah, the cousin. You've heard that? They say cousin.
My wife says cousin.
There you go.
Well, cousin. Says cousin.
And
yeah.
Aunt thought it was like a diss and saying that it's like a inbred thing, but I took it as because they know that, you know, we as people who live in this region never leave the region and all of our family lives in the same region forever and ever.
I think that was a little over the line. The inbred.
Yeah, but
part I didn't care for.
I didn't take it as inbred.
I took it as inbred.
You could have.
That was the one part. Like, hold on.
Because I have 12 cousins who aren't actually my cousins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 That's what I took it as.
Yeah, that happens. If you're close to family, you become a cousin.
They become a cousin.
Yeah. If you're close, you become an I had an uncle, wasn't an uncle.
Yeah, I got aunts that aren't aunts, uncles that aren't uncles. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they got that right.
I thought
it was pretty funny to spoof that whole thing because a spoof is that you may go overly ridiculous. And there's some parts of the show that are overly ridiculous in a Philly way. So I thought they captured
it. She was vaping out of the pretzel in one scene.
And the other part, the Philly 40 hit me because...
people who are Philly 40.
I know that woman. Like, I know her.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know her. Some I went to high school with.
Yeah.
They are grandparents right now.
Right.
Yet they're my age. Uh-huh. It's like...
The pop-up thing is a regional play. Yeah.
Yes, the pop-up. Oh,
yeah.
They got a lot right, but you could tell that it was a person from here who wrote it.
Yeah.
It was too on the nose. A person from New York or L.A. couldn't have written that.
But it's flattering to the show. And the gay spoof on Saturday Night Live, it's a big deal. That means people from around the country watching the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently the show's doing well.
I like it. Last night, great episode.
Yeah, it's...
starting to come together.
She's so miserable that I can't stand her. And I guess she's supposed to be that way. But I'd like to see another side of her.
I think it's coming.
Yeah?
I think it's coming. With what we've just seen happen... And where she's at now, I think we're going to start to see a new...
Her mother is a classic character.
Oh, she's phenomenal.
The mother has it down. That gene's
phenomenal.
Smart. Yeah, you know those type of mothers.
I said last night, I was like, she's my favorite character on the show.
She is.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones and go to Tony in Riverside. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony. What's up, Tone? Ah, Tone's not there from the borough of Riverside. Nate in Phoenix. What's up, Nate?
Hey, what up, man?
Hello, Nate.
How you doing, Mike?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Big fan of the show. First off, I want to get on this the Ben Simmons thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if he don't develop a jump shot, we have to trade him. Because all of the people who's saying that, oh, he's a defender, good defender, we don't pay him to be a defender. He making $160 million. That's not defender money. He getting paid to develop a jump shot. They saying he's the second coming of LeBron. He can't be without a jumper.
Yeah.
So I'm saying at some point he's going to stall Embiid's development in the playoffs, and he's going to stall Embiid back. He's going to hold him back if he doesn't develop a jump shot.
Yeah, we all know it. We all know it. But see, if they win without, you know, he's not getting traded. If they win without him taking a jumper, it all depends on what their success ratio is in the playoffs.
That's true. And then another thing is the narrative on him is an all-star. If Ben Simmons was on the Western in the Western Conference, he would never be an all-star. So we can't trade him for a player like De'Aaron Fox, because we gas him up to be an all-star. So we gotta change that narrative on Ben Simmons. If he don't develop a jump shot, we have to move him. We gotta stop calling him an all-star as a fan base, because
he can't ignore the fact that he's made the all-star team. But I understand the value. You don't just trade him for the sake of trading him. You have to trade him for significant value.
Right. And De'Aaron Fox never been an all-star.
De'Aaron Fox. Yeah.
He's never been an all-star.
Yeah, but that might be a good enough trade to make. I don't know. At the time, it might be a good enough trade to make. De'Aaron Fox.
We need the points. We need the assists. He'd do the exact same thing. And players like LaMelo Ball coming in and already going to surpass Ben Simmons because you don't have a jumper.
We shall see what we shall see. If they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals, anything could happen.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, I'm just saying, man. Thank you for taking my call, man.
All right. If they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals in six games.
If it's to the Nets, nothing happens.
They lose in six games?
Yeah, because the Nets would be,
that much better, and we would all realize they were that much better, and we wouldn't blame Ben Simmons for averaging 8 points a game.
They wouldn't. Meaning Maury, Brand, they would.
Fans would.
Yeah, the fans would, but they would ignore that, because the fans hated Brett Brown. They didn't automatically fire him. I think they would explore it, though, but I think they would explore it for a player like Lillard. Fox is on the come up, and Fox may make him better, because Styles also, it's about what would improve and be too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just what Simmons doesn't do. It's about Simmons' limitations directly hurting Embiid. And that's something I'm very interested to see in the playoffs, because we saw that last time they were together in the playoffs, but we didn't pay attention to it, where Ben's man was in Embiid's lap and we just gave credit to the other guy. Like, look at Marcus Gasol. Like, I think we're going to pay more attention to that going forward.
By the way, when you watched the Pistons Saturday night, did the thought cross your mind that was every bit as bad a lineup as anything to process put out there?
No, because they had
20, Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, he's a 20-point scorer.
Yeah, but Jeremy Grant is a guy who's a decent player on a bad team. He throws up a lot of crap.
Yeah, but they didn't have any player like that during the process. A decent player on a bad team. They only had crap. Now, the last time they played the Thunder, it looked like that. No, and I think Killian Hayes can play.
He can play.
I think he can play.
He's a high draft pick.
Yeah, I think he can play.
But, you know, Wayne Ellington's out there just stealing.
Yeah, but he's also, I don't think you recognize just how bad those now the Thunder,
the Thunder
are playing a process squad where if your boy's getting minutes, you know that's a process team.
Who's my boy?
That Ty Jerome getting minutes, that's a process team. That's just a shooting TJ McConnell. That's a process team.
Ty Jerome can fire.
Yeah, he's a shooting TJ McConnell.
Well, that's worth something.
Yeah.
He can fire.
Yeah, but he's not as tough and he's not as good a defender as TJ. So he's the same skill level, only he can shoot and TJ couldn't. But Ty, he steps in the best player in that crap gym because they stink.
I'll look at that Detroit team. All right. So I don't know what Sadiq Bey is, whether he can play or not. I don't know. He just looks like a guy to me. There's nothing special that he does. He's a 6'8 kind of guy.
He's getting 20 points a night.
Is he an SF? Sadiq Bey? I don't know.
Oh, so no, people like Bey.
Yeah, I guess.
That's another
point. Corey Joseph and Ellington with their starting backcourt.
No. That's a product. Well, now they're actually better. No, the process was the worst thing I've ever seen. Now, Detroit's better. Detroit in four against the process.
Well, look at who Detroit brought off the bench. Other than Killian Hayes, they brought that Lithuanian kid in. Yeah, he has no idea.
No. And he's too young.
Dumboyo got like 7 fouls in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Okafor played 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Third string center that guy is for that team.
Now, where's your pride at? You can't get real minutes on that squad. Where's your pride?
What did I tweet? I tweeted
something about Europe or something, right?
Yes, I said, listen, Jaleel, third string on this dreadful team. Third string center on this dreadful team. One word, Europe. Go over there.
Yeah, I want to go play. Come on, I'm not going to sit here and sit the bench over here.
610-6320-975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
97.5 The Fanatic.
448. Mike Snelly Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Get back to the phones and phones.
The phone.
Back to the phone. I was watching a great show last night. Yeah, that History Channel comes out with some great, like the foods that make America. Last night was the pizza thing.
Oh, well, pizza's very important.
The birth of the Pizza Hut and how Domino's came after them. Yeah, it's really interesting because it always starts in the middle of the country where the immigrants didn't go there.
And there's no good water. You can't have good dough without good water.
Right, so these guys
come natural.
These guys had an idea to make pizza, Medellin pizza, because people don't know what real good pizza is because that's all the immigrants are in the big cities in the Northeast. Right? So that was invented in Wichita, Kansas.
That makes sense.
Who knew?
That makes sense.
Pizza Hut. They had a brilliant idea to franchise it. Yeah, then Domino's comes in there, and their idea was to one-up Pizza Hut by offering delivery 30 minutes or less, which turned the whole company around.
It caused until the lawsuits came.
Yeah, true.
People were crashing trying to make that 30 minutes.
But that's how they made the bones. It was to be different than Pizza Hut. Mm-hmm. And same thing. They were in that same area. They were in Michigan, I guess. The Domino's was Michigan. So the guy who invented it was named Tom Monahan. He wound up buying the Detroit Tigers, and then he sold it to that Iliots guy who then bought the Red Wings.
Oh, right? That's that same guy.
But so they were struggling, and the guy had the idea. Listen, they were selling sandwiches and stuff, too. They had a big menu, and the one brother thought they should keep the menu. The other guy goes, no, we ought to just serve pizza. And that's sort of the business model. And so the other guy, they had a delivery, and he goes, and we're going to do deliveries. So they asked the brother to do a delivery, and he balked at it, and he didn't like the fact they were only serving pizza. So he quit, and he gave his share of the company to the other brother who bought him out with a beat up Volkswagen delivery Beetle.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So the guy made billions, and the brother. Now, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Even though the brother leaves because he didn't see the future, he turns into a big company. Don't you got to cut the brother in?
Yeah, but not half anymore because I'm the one doing all the work.
Well, and he already paid him with the Beetle.
I mean, I'm paying with the Beetle. The guy returned to his job as a mailman.
Listen, if I'm rich, everybody's rich. I'm not going to have my brother out there mailman, and if I'm rich, I'm just saying I'm not going to give him half.
I don't know what the other brother ended up. He got bought out of the company, and the other guy made it a fortune.
Right, and what I'm saying is if I'm rich, my brother, sister, because I'm going to keep this circle tight, brother, sister, dad.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, people are, they're good. Now, everybody, there's some people out there that know me. Y'all all aren't good. But my brother's good if I'm rich. He's good. He's not gonna be mailman.
Yeah, but I don't know if that brother really got the dividends from it. I think he shut him out.
No, I wouldn't do that. Even if
he built the company, and I guess he's saying, I built this damn company, you left.
Right, so what I do is I put him on, if I'm a billion, I put him on $100,000 a month allowance. That's a lot of money to everybody except a billionaire. That's 1.2 million. Now you don't have to be a mailman. I'm giving you $100,000 a month. Like, I'm saying, I'm going to make sure my brother's... I'm saying, even if I'm mad at him, I'll give him more if I wasn't mad. If I'm mad at him, here's your $100,000. Don't ask me for $100,000 and 1 cent. This is what you get every month to be there the first.
It's interesting how then they came to the Northeast, where the pizza was, where we knew about pizza, right? Yeah. They come to the cities, the big cities, New York. Mm-hmm. And how did they survive? How did they get successful coming into areas that knew what good pizza was?
Well, you know how it got me as a kid? Because kids would have their pizza parties at Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
If you're going to Johnny's party, and a pizza party became a status symbol when I was a kid.
That and breadsticks. The Pizza Hut breadsticks.
You know who was in this documentary, too, talking about the pizza?
Who?
RZA.
Oh, really? Dear God.
Yes.
A lot of crumbs.
RZA was interviewed. Now, I don't know, like, why, but he, like, had something to say about the advent of the pizza.
That's crazy. But
he like was endorsing the product.
I like crumb bum pizza.
So now I get a job, but I can't drink or anything yet. It was somewhat of a status symbol to be able to afford to go to Pizza Hut. Now, and then my taste buds quickly caught on.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, look at me. I can now afford, because my family wasn't throwing the Pizza Hut party for 30 kids.
I think the advertising.
No, they weren't doing that for 30 kids. Yeah. But the other people in my class did. You know how many of those Pizza Hut pizza parties I went, when you would get the little pizza, yep. The little pie?
Yep.
I don't know where they got the money from.
I never had that experience.
Well, and I did.
The advertising, the commercials made it look so much cooler and much more delicious. And yes, and they advertised the birthday party, so you wanted to have it there.
Yeah you wanted to, because Roma's Pizza, which was the local place, but these are a million times better than a Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
It was like
eat that pizza every day.
It was like once you graduated from Chuck E. Cheese, you went to Pizza Hut.
Yep. So it became a status symbol. When you're like 17 with your little money, you're going to go to Pizza Hut. For me.
It was a great idea, though. I mean, it was the advent of McDonald's, which had set the template of those franchises. Yeah. And also this guy goes, well, you can deal with pizza. That was brilliant. All right, at 5 o'clock hours ahead, we're going to take your calls. We have two open lines, 610-632-0975, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show. Fun show today. 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guide to Door and Window. By any window or door, get the second 50% off. Plus, interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guide to Door and Window today. The number's 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, let's get to the phones here in 5 o'clock hour and go to Georgia. Malcolm, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Malcolm?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm fine. Well, not really fine. It was looking good there for about a day and let's say 26 outs. And I thought the Phillies was on their way to possibly sweeping these Braves, and it kind of one fastball away and it was all gone. But had a couple of observations that I thought, and I just wanted to know your opinion on it. I know Bryce Harper's a real gamer, and he wants to play. Whatnot, but it seemed to me, and I don't know if you saw it too, that he was off there. I would say Saturday and even going into Sunday's game, and I don't know if maybe something's going on with that injury.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't think he's probably still a little bit banged up trying to play.
Yeah.
It's been a little disturbing that he has not driven in enough runs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had 4 opportunities. I mean, he got away with the one where the pitcher was threw the ball away. But, there was 4 opportunities on Saturday and then a couple on Sunday where, he just didn't come through. And, and I don't know why. Maybe, they're reluctant to, maybe it would have been better for him just to sit out and somebody else play in that spot.
Well, the problem is, who plays in that spot? Like, I'd rather have a Bryce Harper who's not 100% than anybody else they can throw out there. Who do they have that can play outfield on this team?
Well, I mean, maybe a Brad Miller could have been out there.
Well, they put him out there, but he's going to kill you eventually.
And give us a few bats or whatever. But anyway, that was just one thing. And then the other thing is, I think, is it time we nominate Rhys Hopkins for the Furkan Korkmaz Award for this Phillies team? Because, to be honest with you, he'll give you a splash, you know, here and there with a few home runs, but he's been looking bad.
Yeah, he's lost the edge a little bit. He's down to 233. Hasn't hit a homer in a while, but he's got eight homers, which is nothing to sneeze at. He's always a threat. So, you know, I don't know what else they could do. How do you improve your team? You trade him, make a big deal? I guess you can.
You could.
You can't sit him, you know, like how many times can you sit him? You can't sit a home run hitter.
True. But maybe, you know, a trade or something that they can package him in or, you know, get him over to the American League and get something back or whatever. But, yeah, those were a couple of things that I just saw.
Yeah, I get it. But if you do that, who plays third base now? You're going to move Bohm to first? Who's going to play third base?
Segura could go back on over there to third.
And then who plays second?
And then we could put the
Maton?
We could put Maton in.
I don't know. I don't think Maton is ready to be an everyday player. I keep saying that, but
keeps hitting.
Yeah, he's down though. He had a double yesterday, but he's been chiseled down a little bit.
Well, if that's going to happen, but the question is, can he adjust back? Obviously, pitchers were going to adjust. The question is, then, can he adjust back? I mean, it is a failure game.
I don't think he's ready to be a starter in this league.
No, he may not be. But
I think he needs to be in AAA, getting regular at bats
with Bohm. There's all these people that think Bohm might be a future first baseman. I do wonder if Hoskins doesn't hit. I'm not saying this year, but now Dombrowski doesn't have that loyalty to anybody because none of these are his guys. I do wonder if they would think to move him if they could get a third baseman because there's those rumors about from Chicago as a possible rental. Third baseman.
Yeah, what, for this year?
Yeah.
The rest of this year?
Uh-huh. And I'm just saying, if you're going to move Bohm to first, he's going to play third.
I'd be okay with that.
And then you rent, and then maybe you decide if you could pay him. It may not be realistic to pay him in the offseason, but if you can, you're talking about stealing the division, they would have to stay in the mix for longer. But if you get closer to that deadline, and the Cubs aren't going to re-sign him, because that relationship apparently is fractured,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I just wonder if that would be on the table. I'm not rooting for the guy. He seems to love Philadelphia.
He hit some home runs. I'd be okay with that, I guess.
Be all right with that. And then that's in the case of the Cubs are going to part ways. They're not going to get high value because he's set to be a free agent. So there's a limited pool of teams who would be in on him. And if you're in the mix and you're trying to steal a division, he might be a player that might be enticing to them.
He's in 300. He's got 9 bombs.
Yeah, the issue is they're just not going to pay him. That's the issue.
We're talking about Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would improve your team.
There's just
get a little more sock.
It's just been a little like a thing out there that, and then I'm wondering, would they be interested in Hoskins? And then you move Bohm to first. I'm just thinking out loud because that's bubbling.
Yeah, I can say it again. I think Bohm's got to change it up. I'm sorry, I don't like the way he hits.
Right, you want him pulling the ball?
I want him everything. He's inside the ball on everything, and he's like I don't need him to hit singles to right center field. Hey, come on, man. You're going to drive the ball out of the yard to left field.
I got you.
I guess they don't want to mess with him. You know, you should be able to do that. If you want to take a ball, get inside the ball, and shoot it that way, that's fine. You're that versatile hitter. But, you know, there's some balls you need to turn on, my friend. All right, Todd in Center City. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Mr. Nelly's available for center field, right, Mike?
Available for what?
Center field.
No, I don't have any wheels, man. I can't play out there.
Well,
no, I got no wheels left.
How about Ty?
Yeah, and Ty could probably go get it in center.
Okay. Mike, you three should do late night. You really should. You guys are great. When you get rolling and laughing and, you know, the whole schmeal, it's good. It's good stuff.
Hey, I you know what? I would take the show to late night if offered. I think NBC should, like, you know, offer us a little something.
Hey, there you go, Mike. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Hey, playoff time, Big Ben. You know, Ben, you love Ben. You know you love him.
I do love him, which is why it hurts me so much. You always, the ones you love always hurt you.
That's right. Good point. Good point. But they're playoffs, and here comes Doc. Anyway, what I really called about was Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah.
And as Nat said, a lot of it is very, very funny. I mean, it is, but some of it maybe not. But
well, you're talking about the whole show?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. The whole show is you know, not as funny a lot of nights, but that one skit. We're just talking about the one skit. I thought it was pretty well done what they did, the Mayor of Easttown thing.
I hear you.
As a Philadelphian. Now, I don't know if anybody else would get it, but well, I got it.
Right. Right. I gave it a B along with Anthony. Some of that stuff was really good.
Anthony didn't like the over-embellished accent. He didn't like the right. daughter or whatever, however they were pronouncing.
Yeah. All right. I'm taking off the air, but you guys are great.
All right, okay, man. But that's what spoofs are, to go overboard.
Yeah.
That's why it's a spoof.
Yeah, but Anthony, I think, has the same thing I do, where he said, you know, he's been made fun of for his accent, too. So we're just kind of like, grubber, grubber.
Well, you see, I went to Penn State. You know how I can pick up a Pittsburgh accent. You know, people in Pittsburgh, hey, it's the way they talk. I don't know why. It's just indigenous to the, you know, the continents are different.
I do think among accents, though, the Philly accent does get a bad rap compared to that crap Pittsburgh accent.
To all of the accents, and I don't know why.
And I think that Pittsburgh accent is way gross, and it's under criticized. That needs to be spoofed a little bit more.
I have
spoofed that since I've been on the air.
I'm talking about nationally. Yeah. Nick said something about the Pittsburgh Steelers have won enough. How about making a little bit more fun of that Pittsburgh accent?
What is the end? Everyone wants to know about you.
Dopey.
Yeah, that accent.
It sounds like a dopey accent.
Yeah, it's ripe for more.
It is. I'm sorry. Now, I don't know what our accent sounds like, but that Pittsburgh accent sounds dopey.
Always has. The Stillers.
What does that even mean?
Stillers.
Danton. They don't. The W is not in their vocabulary.
No.
They'll never pronounce the W. I know that's weird. I mean, I don't know how it happens, but you grow up in that environment and you talk that way the rest of your life.
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm saying that it just in general, next time make a little Pittsburgh show. We need to really dig in on how wretched that accent is.
Yes, I can.
No, let me ask you. Is D Gunn from Pittsburgh? He doesn't have that accent.
No,
he probably worked it out over time, I was supposed to.
And sometimes black people are outside the realm. Like I'm not. I sound is how I sound, but I don't have any of the Philly accent. It's just so. Even though I grew up here, so it's like sometimes when you're black, you don't cross. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. It works like that. So, like, I know very few black people with the Philly accent.
Yeah, you're right. You don't fall into the Philly accent that white people fall into.
I'm serious. I personally don't know any black person, and my whole family's from Philly.
Black people have their own cadence.
Yeah, so I don't know. So I think D Gunn, wherever he grew up with, was probably outside of that. And then he refined himself for TV, and he has a successful career.
Yeah.
But I bet you that's what it is. Because I was with my Philly cousins this weekend. No Philly accents. We all sound different, I'm saying, but not the Philly stereotypical accent.
All right. Well, I like it. I think it's unique. I'm almost proud of it. Oh, D. Gunn was from Wisconsin? Oh, he worked in Pittsburgh, though, for a while, I think.
That makes sense.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, he worked.
Don't you know?
Yeah. Ooh, that accent.
I came here after working in Pittsburgh. So he knows what I'm talking about. He heard that same thing if he worked in that city for years.
D. Gunn.
Yeah, real fast before you get, I know you're going right back to the phones, Mike. So we've been talking about you hypothetically meeting, not hypothetical man, I'm saying you hypothetically meeting your dream woman. not hypothetically. Yeah. So this woman checks all the Mikey Miss boxes. Nally and I think she's blonde, but whatever hair color you want, Mike. And she's all these things, and she does well, and she's smart and everything.
So smart.
But she has that accent Nally was just using.
And Don't you know? Hey, Mike.
Mikey. But she has everything else. It's just also that.
Will you make me some pasta, Mike?
Everything else.
That's a Midwestern accent.
Yeah, she has the Midwestern accent, but everything else she's good with.
I broke up with a college girlfriend because she had a Pittsburgh accent.
I'd like to try your sauce.
The Midwest, be able to get past. The Pittsburgh thing, I could never get past it.
Okay.
Even I can help you grow tomatoes.
Oh, God.
This girl was model pretty.
And you still couldn't do it?
I couldn't. Like, it was so heavy that it just kind of turned me off. I don't know why, but I'm a weirdo like that.
Don't you know?
See, that's a... I don't think I could go for that deep of a...
Why not, Mike?
She had everything else.
I check all the boxes.
All the boxes.
All the boxes.
She looks like prime Nicole Kidman. She's got a master's degree.
I guess.
But she sounds like that 24-7, including in private time.
I make a good apple pie.
See, that, I wouldn't... Whipped cream? I wouldn't like that. I could put up with this southern accent I like.
Well, that's different.
So I could roll with the southern accent. Yeah. The Pittsburgh accent, I couldn't.
Okay. I'm just wondering. Just examining. Like, you know, I was just wondering.
I was telling that today. It's just that lyric by Joni Mitchell kind of defines my like for women.
Yeah. It's true.
There's a lot. I let people try to figure it out rather than reveal it. Joni Mitchell has the perfect line for me as far as women go.
Yeah.
So people that are deep into Joni Mitchell are the only ones that would be able to figure it out.
They probably know it off the top of their head.
It'll be a big mystery.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Ed in Wilmington. What's up, Ed?
Mike, how are you?
Hello, Ed.
Natalie, Tyrone. Good to talk to you as well. Mike, mm-hmm. What do you mean, Joni Mitchell? What, Coyote? What is the Joni Mitchell line?
Well, you have to figure it out. It's a lyric in a Joni Mitchell song that kind of defines my taste for women.
There's a lot of lyrics.
Tell you what it is. You have to go through her whole catalog.
Oh my God!
Yeah, she's got probably like 200 songs.
Yeah, she's a great songwriter. I love the SNL spoof. I work Saturday 10 hours, so I didn't make it to the show,
mm-hmm.
and so hearing you guys replay that, I thought it was funny as all get out. It was really funny.
Yeah, and I thought it was very well done. Now. I'm from here, so I got it.
Yes.
And I get that show, I get it, because I recognize where it's coming from. Now, I don't know how people from around the country perceive that show, and I don't know how they would perceive that skit, whether they got it or not.
Well, I've lived out here since 80, and I've picked up a few things as far as the vernacular in the East Coast.
Yeah, now you have a very defined accent.
It's Midwest.
It is. You have a very defined Midwest accent. Now, the Chicago accent, you can pick that up. Like Dennis Farina had that, right? Dennis Farina in Midnight Run has that classic Chicago accent.
He absolutely
does. It's just indigenous to certain areas, and that's why I like it. It makes us all diverse.
I like the diversity too, Mike. And if you want to say Wooder or Winda, I'm okay with it. It doesn't bother me. You know what one does kind of get me is humidity and Houston. That H seems to drop
I do
right
that.
Off.
Now, people have gotten, I had a girlfriend that made fun of me because I say Houston instead of Houston. Right. I go with the U. I started with a U. That's just, that's from here. And I've had to correct myself a lot about that.
Yes, you probably should hear that. But it's all good fun. And I just like listening to people. And, Mike, I worry that with wearing masks and cell phones, that we'll stop talking to one another. I love to hear the different.
Yeah, see, the Houston for me comes from used guys. It's like, used guys, Houston. You know, you don't want to take the time to go, Houston.
Who has time for that?
Yeah, nobody has time.
You just ditch that H. But, you know, my dad early on, I was like, Dad, he goes and she goes. He said, where's everybody going? So I drop that goes right away.
Yeah, so she goes and he says and I got it.
I corrected it, but I like it. I don't think we should change, and I think we need to keep talking to one another.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I think? Go ahead with your Sixers point, Ed, because one of the things that I noticed about I don't know if it's here and people go when they before they start a sentence they go so. So what did you do today? So I, they started with so.
Yeah, I'm probably a little too old to start with so.
Okay.
But I want the Sixers to get to the playoffs. I fear nobody this year. I want to get to the playoffs. Last year was such a mess. There are one hope. And I think Hoskins is getting his swing back, Mike. I think he's
gotten
his swing.
I don't think he's gotten it back lately. He's in a slump right now.
They messed him up bad.
He had his swing back earlier when he was hitting home runs, but he's been struggling lately. He's striking out a lot. Would I trade him? If I can make my team better, like we just talked about, you get Chris Bryant But see, they right. wouldn't. Rizzo plays first base for them, so they wouldn't be interested in Rhys Hoskins.
I know.
I mean, you know, it'd have to be an American League team.
It's great. Keep the vernacular.
You got it. Yeah, I mean, Rizzo's older now, but.
Yeah, again, I'm just thinking they don't have a deep farm system.
Mm-hmm.
But they also would not get back anybody's top prospect for unless because it has to be a big city.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if you call and you include him, maybe they would flip him. Hey, we're going to give him to you. Figure out what you're going to do with him after the fact. Here you go. I just wonder because I don't know how many names would be appealing to them. But the Phillies are one of the few teams with the money to trade for him and realistically maybe pay him. That's the only thing reason why a lot of teams are not going to be able to trade for him because he wants a bunch of money. Uh-huh. The Dodgers can spend no more, for example. They're a really good team. The Yankees, I don't know if they would do that. Like, I think there would be a limited trade pool. So you call up, you say, listen, we got this guy. We know he's a major league hitter at least. You got something. What do you say? And we'll throw in something. I just wonder. It's just one of these things because he's been available for a long time, and I know the market is not huge for him, but he's a good player. And if you can steal a division – I wouldn't mind postseason October baseball.
Yeah. Couple observations on baseball that I want to get in here because I did it last night. You know I am no big fan of that Matt Vasgersian.
Yeah, he made a few errors. I saw one. He's not looking at the game. He's not watching the game.
I can't stand him.
He's not watching the game.
He's a guy that was spawned from it. From announcing school that says some stuff that's supposed to be on the script. So I watched the game last night, right? Now you know he's pitching a good game. He's got good stuff.
Yeah.
But somebody drilled a ball in a hole to end the third out, and Dansby Swanson made a great play
right.
to get it and to flip it, make an accurate throw. But this guy didn't even notice it. He goes, boy, has Yanoa been good tonight? He just gave up a smash in a hole that his fielder just bailed him out on. That's not the time you say Yanoa's been great tonight.
Because he's not watching the game. He has decided.
Exactly.
He has decided.
He goes
that's
by
what I'm
the script
say.
Of what an announcer should say.
Right. He's not watching
him.
The game. But that takes a skill, though, Mike.
I just hate him.
That's where probably our appreciation of Joe Buck during the national game should rise. Because he's a guy who's able to intake the game, and it comes out organically. He's talking about the game. He's not speaking in soundbite.
Yeah. Now, here's the other observation. This illustrates the difference between me and Jason Stark. Who's a great friend of mine, who I have great respect for, who just loves baseball, right?
Yeah.
So I want to find this because it was the same night. Here it is. This is the night that the Mets had that Lindor and Jeff McNeil snafu where the players in the Mets go rushing off the field and they go into the tunnel because they're in an altercation. Did you see this?
Yes, up in the tunnel.
Well, the players, they turn around. They're ready to take the field. They turn around because two of their teammates are scrapping in the tunnel that leads to the club, and they go rushing in, right? So I look at Jason. Jason's tweet is this. 16 starts ago on September 10th, 2019, Wade Miley had a start for Houston in which he faced 9 hitters and gave up 7 hits. The start before he faced 6 hitters and gave up 5 hits. Tonight he pitched a no-hitter because baseball is beautiful. Right? Now that's a typical Jason tweet because he loves baseball so much. So I reply, never mind that. What happened between Lindor and McNeil? That's the difference between us.
It is.
Because I'm curious about the altercation, and he just wants to put out a beautiful baseball thing.
And Lindor dodged it after the game, too.
Yeah. They saw a rat or raccoon. We know what happened. Mm-hmm. But see, so nobody can get to that now because it's COVID, because it's all Zoom, and nobody's going to snitch it out.
Right.
Within the team confines.
Yeah.
But apparently, it was an argument over a ball that one of them didn't get to or something. The other thought the other one should got to. That happens between shortstops and second baseman every now and then. You look at each other cross-eyed. So McNeil must have said something. Lindor must have popped him or something. But see, I love that stuff. That's interesting to me. That makes baseball more interesting.
I agree with that completely. Completely, we should have got more on that.
All right.
See. On the other side, too, Mike, I might have to miss a Football Friday for the first time this year. I'll tell you why.
Oh, okay. I'll
tell you why on the other side.
Well, you're looking into the future.
Yeah, I may have to. I'll tell you on the other side.
All right. Well, we got a couple of lines you want to squeeze in. We got to sound off at 5:45. Room for your call until then. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show is back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
And I get an encore.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory, where better gets made. Find one near you at PhillyPretzelFactory.com.
The Chum Kincaid Show.
Just because you might be the best pitcher on your staff, and that is up for grabs, that doesn't mean you're an ace. An ace goes out and picks up their team. An ace stops losing streaks. Aaron Nola, it is a myth. It is a freaking myth.
Anthony Gargano.
Last night was bad. Nola, he just shrinks when he's in Atlanta. But listen, here's what I take out of it. They go toe-to-toe with that team. I take it that they're close. And it all depends what Dombrowski can get done.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I don't know if the Phillies can win this division. I still see them as a just kind of an average team. They had decent top three starting pitching. They have a bullpen that sometimes performs, sometimes not. They sometimes hit and they sometimes don't, which all adds up to they're just an average team.
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
All right, final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or call them. They have safe contactless pickup at their shop in Doylestown. Natalie, final numbers.
All righty, Mike. Over 1,200 votes on this one today. If you're not all in on the Sixers making the finals, what's the main reason? 36% say Ben Simmons, 34% say the Nets, 21% say the bench, 9% say the Bucks.
All righty. Thank you very much. You know, I'm looking down and Firefly has announced their schedule.
And that's why. That's exactly, that was what I was saying.
Oh, that's what, oh.
Now, it's been a whole pandemic.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been able to see any live music, haven't been out.
Yep.
This is in September.
September.
So this is football season. And I normally under normal circumstances, mm-hmm. wouldn't even think of missing work during football season.
Uh-huh.
But it's a festival that I don't have to fly to, and I like a lot of the acts. Don't like all the acts.
Yeah.
But I like a lot of the acts. I may have to make a pandemic-related exception and buy my tickets Friday at 10 a.m. and go in September. It's September 23rd.
And you say you would miss the football Friday. So what about?
I would miss Thursday and Friday.
Well, who's going to be on Thursday?
Thursday's Billie Eilish is the headliner.
Okay. Yeah. You would go see Billie Eilish?
I would like to see her live to maybe I can figure it out.
All right.
And then Friday, the Killers, who I really like.
Yeah, I hate them.
I really like
yeah, I go Billie Eilish, and then I wouldn't go Friday.
But I got to go the whole time. Tame Impala doesn't move me as much.
Tame Impala and Lizzo.
Lizzo would be Sunday, probably headlining. Fun. She'd probably be fun. She'd be fun then. Meg Thee Stallion, not really for me, but. KZ Elephant, one of my favorites. Wiz Khalifa would be fun. Glass Animals, Diplo.
Yeah, I'm going to go down the list here because I was going to go down this list and see you give it a yes or no.
Okay.
All right, so Meg Thee Stallion, yes. KZ Elephant?
Big time, yes.
More of a yes. Machine Gun Kelly. No, you're not Machine Gun Kelly.
There'd be somebody else playing at the same time.
Diplo.
Yes.
Glass Animals, Def.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Portugal the Man.
Like Portugal the Man.
Sylvan Esso. You probably don't know Sylvan.
Don't know Sylvan Esso.
Yeah. You know.
Solid Sylvan Esso.
This is my concert.
Phoebe Bridgers.
See, I think she'd be decent. Yeah, I think she'd be decent.
How about Nelly coming in?
I think that would be fun in person. I know all the songs. It'd be nostalgic. As long as he doesn't play any country songs, I'm in.
Black Bear.
I know a little bit about Black Bear. I don't hate it.
Sophie Tucker. I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Caribou.
See, that's
not
bad.
Might be a dream poppy for you.
That's all right, though, because it's a festival scene. Uh-huh. Different rules than on the radio.
Take
It
Back Sunday trying to make a comeback.
I'd go for them.
Dominic Fike. You put a Dominic Fike song on my Spotify.
Yeah, I think it would be decent. Now, some of these bands, I have to be honest, when they do the big list, I have to go refresh. I listen and shuffle. You don't have to buy the CDs anymore, mm-hmm. So artist names and stuff.
Girl in Red.
Not bad.
New act.
Yeah, not bad.
Big. I think she's from Scandinavia. Lovely the Band.
What are they saying?
That's an alt favorite of mine.
Yeah. Right.
Grandson.
Not bad either.
Grandson. Let's go with, let's see, where else are we here? Missio! What? Oh, I got to go see Missio.
See? You might have to.
That's monstrous.
I don't know, can we do the show from there?
I'm not cool enough to go to this.
I'm telling you.
You and Mike can go.
I'm saying that I'm not going to make the decision until Friday morning. But once I'm in, once I pay for it, I have to go.
Atlas Genius.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Royal and the Serpent. That's that new chick, Royal.
Who I don't know her.
She sounds like my girl Kay Flay.
Yeah, I don't know her.
She's hot right now. Kenny Hoopla is hot right now. Middle Kids. From Australia, gonna be there. Let's see who else. Now we're getting to the bottom here.
Yeah, well, those are up and coming bands. What's funny is Lizzo, 6 years ago, was one of the first day bands in the small print, and now she's a headliner 6 years later.
Yeah, see, you like to kill. Tame Impala, solid.
Well,
the headline at Saturday.
Well, this
so
is
so I go Thursday for Billy. I sit out Friday. I go Saturday for Tame.
I don't know if they're going to do single day anymore because there's limited numbers.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't show up for
right. So what I'm
wherever
saying
the killers
is,
are, I'd be in somewhere. I'd be
right.
In a restaurant.
You can do other stuff. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that I'll let you know Friday whether or not I have to miss my first football week ever.
Okay.
Because
that's interesting.
I'm probably right now. I'm going now. My wife will bring in the money and the this and that and splash the cold water.
Are you going to go glamping?
Elizabeth like Billie Eilish?
She loves Billie.
Okay, well, there
no. It would be the money, the practicality. See, neither one of us are allowed to get too up or too high, too down, too up or too low. So whenever either one of us has any fanciful thoughts, the other one's job is always to splash cold
bring
water.
It down.
Yeah. So I'm sure she's probably texting during this segment and saying, "What about the three?" Because I'm not going to do it regular. I got to do it VIP. I'm not camping with everyone. I got to have my own area and stuff. I got rules.
Well, yeah.
I'm too old to be just around everybody. I got to be in my own area.
I agree with that.
My own bathrooms stuff. So it's going to cost a little extra.
Yeah, okay.
But I'll make the decision Thursday night so that I'm ready Friday at 10 a.m. when the tickets go on sale, and then I'll make the decision on what to do.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Vic in Abington. What's up, Vic?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good, man. How you doing?
Okay, how's it go? I got a question for you on a Kentucky Derby.
Yes, interesting.
Okay, everybody that bet on the horse already got paid.
Yeah.
And there's
they
keep it.
Yeah.
And what happens if he gets disqualified, all the people that have
you know, that's an interesting question. Would they have to pay out a new winner? If you had that second horse. No, they're saying no?
Nope.
All right, so they're not going to pay out that second horse who gets in that slot because of disqualification. But if you cash the ticket, you keep it.
Yeah, that seems unfair.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. You know, you cash the ticket, they can't ask for your money back.
Oh, no, not from that, but the people, because if they declare the other horse the winner, seems like the people should get paid for it.
Yeah, I don't know how they're justifying that that horse only won because he was gacked up. So the second horse really should be the winner, and they should pay that ticket, too. But I guess they're not going to do that.
Yeah, I'll probably get some flack about it.
Yeah, probably. But you can't pay everybody. I guess they figured they pay it out as much as they're going to pay out.
Yeah, but like if you bet on any other sport, there's always a clear winner.
Well, what's the rotten part about this is that we won't have a triple crown, because that horse that finished second that becomes the champ is not entered in the Preakness.
Yeah.
So no triple crown.
Right.
So yeah. I actually want to see there's no question in my mind that Bob Baffert's been, you know, he's a little shady, right? he's been, you know, caught a few times doing this, and like he's in denial about the whole thing. And maybe he didn't do it personally, but I'm sure his people are instructed to do it. Because I want to see a triple crown, I hope that the reversal comes in that there was a false test.
I hope so.
I'll
be interested
now. Yeah. All right. You got it, Vic. Thank you. All right. Okay. Let's go to Ian in Roxborough. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Ian?
Thanks for my call. So I just had a quick situation to pose to you, and I'm curious if you guys think this is anything to be concerned about. If we play the Nets in, like, Eastern Conference Champs, do you think there's any danger of them putting KD on Embiid? And the reason I bring it up is because while he'll be like a flapping piece of paper next to Embiid, he has a tendency to get a little rough under. Do we have any concern about them putting like a bunch of offensive fouls on him and getting him out of the game, since nobody can actually guard him anywhere?
If they decide to play KD on Joel Embiid, that would be insanity. Because I look at the reverse. You don't want KD getting in foul trouble.
Yeah,
I can see it's easier that KD's going to foul Embiid than Embiid's going to get offensive fouls against KD. So that, you know,
the star power in the league, they give.
No, fouls. No, not in that situation. That wouldn't be a concern at all for me.
All right, that's all I want.
No, plus DeAndre Jordan's big enough that their strategy would probably be for him to do his best to body him. He's disposable.
We can't win without him.
You can't go in with your design to get KD and you're gonna play KD on Embiid, and you would be more afraid of foul trouble.
All right, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, all right, you got it, buddy. That's overthinking a little bit.
Yeah, and although I think that they may do that, and almost, I think they might do some Durant at the five stuff and then try to do that, but I think they would say, we'll give up the two for Embiid and we'll get you three on the other end at times. Or they bring hard doubles and say, okay, Ben, what you going to do?
Yeah.
I think they would do some stuff. I don't think they would just say, hey, KD, go guard Embiid one-on-one.
Yeah, that would be disastrous.
That would be. Now, Bob Baffert, to the previous caller, he said that, you know, he didn't do it and somebody did it to him. Now, this is now like the 29th time a horse of his has tested positive. But
five in the last, couple of years.
Yeah, this he says that today that he's looking into it, and he's going to run his own investigation. So I wonder, is this similar? I'm asking you guys. Is this similar to like when O.J. was going to work to find the real killer?
Probably along those lines.
Baffert's best move is to say, we did an internal investigation and we found one of our employees acted inappropriately and we fired him.
Didn't he say that the guy peed on the hay?
Yeah, peed on the hay.
And then
he had taken it. And then the horse ate the hay.
That's how it came in.
I don't know. It seems a little too fishy for me. But here's the thing. Like, who do you have to concern mostly? Like, I didn't care if baseball players use performance-enhancing drugs. Should we care that a horse does? We should?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of the kindness for animals?
That, again, they have a short shelf life. Mm-hmm. And the other part is because...
Because you can injure the jockeys and...
Right. That and you have a situation where... the horse can't decide. Now, if the jockeys were juicing, I wouldn't care, because those are the humans making the decision. You're making the decision for the
horse. Right. The horse has no say in getting injected.
And clearly it's in pain or is struggling in some way that it needs this medication, because it's anti-inflammatory.
Well, no. They put in the inflammatory because it's supposed to be like a mask, I think.
It's supposed to build better mass for speed.
Yeah, it's just funny how he says, you know, this happened to me. I'm the victim here. Are you kidding me? Like, I now know he's guilty after his explanations. And he's talking about it's cancel culture because Churchill Downs banned him, as if they were supposed to just let him in the door.
You know, he's claiming it's cancel culture. The other guy in Florida called the horse a junkie and says the world's going to hell.
Dig your story straight,
okay, over here with this. All right, going down the stretch. We got sound off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5, The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Are you going to be beefing with me? What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating. Going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Keep going.
Time for sound off.
610-771-9705 is how you get in to the sound off line. You know, hit us up because it's a Flyers game, last game tonight. I want to get a lot of reaction from this game tonight on sound off.
I think people should react to the game like and the season.
Yeah, I think everybody should publish it. Nice season, guys, and we'll catch you next year. Sound off call tonight, 610-771-9705. So let's see what we have today.
I want to talk about my guy, Howie Roseman, moving up two spots to get Devontae Smith. Howie Roseman is a good GM. You people who call up and say, fire Howie Roseman, you wouldn't have done business with Jerry Jones. You wouldn't have. Because you hate the Cowboys. But Howie Roseman is a smart GM. He's looking out for the better of this football team. Stop it with the fire of Howie Roseman. You know, just stop.
You know, I must have missed it. So the draft was only one round this year?
Seven.
Was it like?
Seven.
Oh, it was seven?
It's full seven.
Oh, because I think our last caller just thought it was one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Explain to me why in an extra inning game, the visitors in a tie game does not walk the leadoff guy to set up first and second and a force on any base. You're only going to lose by one run. It doesn't matter what that guy on first base does. I don't understand why they don't set it up right away. Explain that to me, why you wouldn't walk the first guy to set up first and second.
Well, it's a really good question. It's, you know, you discovered a very interesting little flaw there. Because you don't even have to hold the guy on at first base. That run doesn't matter.
He's the first person I've heard actually mention. Seriously.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But unless that guy, that batter, you want to intentionally walk, you see it's an out. So there would be no reason to walk him if he's an out.
Hectonaris is the worst closer in baseball. You have a guy buried 1-2 in the count, and you nibble enough to the point where you walk. You have Sandoval buried 1-2 in the count. Everybody knows he'll chase any ball above his head, any ball bouncing up there. But you chose to throw him a fastball down the middle of the plate. And the thing that even disturbs me more is that why would JT Realmuto even call for a fastball when he should have told him splitter?
I've asked that question many times before on certain pitches on why, unless that call has come from the dugout. I really don't know that if JT's making those calls or it's come from the dugout. Either way, you're right to point it out.
There's some people at NBC Sports Philadelphia all behind the scenes who thinks that JT's terrible at calling games.
Huh. Yeah, he has had some questionable situations, and they seem to be like the Eflin's more comfortable with the other guy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I think there might be something to it.
Last week, I called in about Joe Girardi needing to make difficult changes. I was talking about Hector Neris throwing the ninth inning, or Reese Hoskins hitting in front of Bryce Harper, even though he strikes out three times a game, never puts the ball in play. I was talking about things like Alec Boehm not bunting with nobody out in the 10th inning, guys on first and second, and then a kid who's hitting .213 grounds into a double play. And then you lose the game 8-7. Am I crazy, or are these things that good baseball teams do?
I'm not having Alec Boehm bunt with runners at first and second. I mean, the winning runs at second base. You have a decent hitter, you want to give him a chance. A single wins a game. There's no reason for him to bunt. All right, let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Got enough beef?
I don't like
water.
Because I don't like
that brain. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
All righty. That was sound off, and that was today's show. Thanks, everybody, for participating. Stay tuned. The drama. Flyers and Devils right here on 97.5, The Fanatic, and on NBC Sports Philly. You get the final telecast, the warm-up, the Flyers pregame show, the game, post-game show. Taryn was on today. We'll see her more in the future, but no more for hockey this year. This is it. So, I'm going to be sad. Anyway, I'm sorry. I can't help it. Everybody have a great rest of the night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.